Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Oktobercast 2013. It starts now. 8 minutes late. So that means we're running until 12:08 tomorrow. As always, I'm joined here by Norman Chan and Gary Whitta. Hey, Norman Chan. Nice job, guys. I didn't think we were going to start this today. I thought things got a little hairy there at the last minute, but we're good now.
You need to wipe some sweat off your brow?
I'm pouring over here. It looks like
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm doing good.
The Skype is logged in. It's all working well.
Everything worked at the last possible minute.
Everything is working. The very, very last possible minute. Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. So if you are just joining us for the very first time, I'm not sure why, but this is Oktobercast. It is our 24-hour podcast marathon where we raise money for charities.
Three of them.
In the past... And this year, we support Child's Play, which is a great charity that's run by the folks at Penny Arcade, where they raise money to put toys, games, and amusements in children's hospitals around the world. They've raised a ton of money over the last 8 or 9 years that they've been running it. It is a fantastic charity, and they do really good work because, you know, there's nothing worse than a sick kid.
As you know, you both know from personal experience
of that, yes.
Yeah. So in addition to Child's Play this year, we're also supporting Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes around the world to places where there are disasters, conflict, places where it's difficult to get good medical care. And what they do...
Like America.
It's not that bad.
Oh, we have bad websites. Early. Oh.
not quite as bad as America. But what they do is they send doctors all around the world and do very good work. Again, another
It's like the A-team. The doctors become the A-team.
That's pretty much it, yeah. I don't know which one is Murdoch.
It's like,
though.
You know, like in Predator when Arnold and his team go into that jungle village and kill everyone? It's like the opposite of that.
Right,
They go into the village and give health to everyone.
If it bleeds, we can heal it.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
That's good. Good job.
Exactly.
I think it's going to be the best podcast ever.
Yeah.
Either that or we've blown all our A material.
Yeah, but that's it. That's the 24 hours right there. So in addition to Doctors Without Borders and Child's Play, we also have support for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, as it were. The EFF, it goes out and protects digital freedom on the internet. So they're at the forefront of everything from legislation that's designed to fight copyright or protect copyright and take away personal freedom, all the way down to stuff like the NSA wiretaps and all that stuff.
So they're constantly
in the news. It's a really great charity, and we are supporting them as well.
A lot of people complaining your mic is too low.
I'm bringing it up even more right now.
All right, good.
Is that better?
But that's a good cadre. Of charities right there. That covers sick children,
yep.
Sick people in general all around the world,
yep.
and internet freedom and privacy.
Though.
Yeah.
Well, mentally sick too. They do mental care health cases as well.
And people who are against the EFF, they're sick-minded.
Oh, that's I'm cool with that. Patent trolls, yeah. So how can you help us help support Oktobercast? If you like what we're doing so far... I'm a little sad because, you know, we've just been talking about nonsense so far. Well, serious stuff, but it's not very exciting so far. We have many ways to donate. CrowdTilt, which is a group fundraising service, has agreed to waive their fees. We have three campaigns set up on CrowdTilt. You can get to them by going to tested.com/kids, tested.com/doctors, and tested.com/electrons.
That's very clever.
So kids goes to Child's Play. Doctors goes to Doctors Without Borders, and Electrons goes to the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
I figured that was the easiest way to do it, and I didn't want to do like the EFF.
So anyway, kids, doctors, and electrons. Is that right?
Kids, doctors, okay. And electrons. You'll need to sign up for CrowdTilt, which I apologize. You know, there was no avoiding signing up for a service this year. And then you can donate all of the money that you donate, shy of the 2.5% that the credit card company takes, goes to the charity. So CrowdTilt doesn't take any money. Tested doesn't take any money. This is all going to the kids. Norm, there's two more plugs in there that need to go in, a USB plug and a mini DisplayPort plug as well.
So you can choose what charity you want to donate to.
You can choose which of the three. We're counting them all toward the Oktobercast total. And
so we're not going to say which charity was the winner then?
All the charities are the winners.
Right, but we're not going to say... We're not going to... itemize the donations here. We're not going to say which charity
we'll
got
call
which,
out which
how much.
Charities get. Well, it's not a contest. I mean, it is a contest, but in the larger sense, it is not a contest.
I don't think we should be making sick kids fight
electrons?
People and freedom people.
Get those kids to jam their forks in the plugs, and the electrons versus kids battle starts right there. this is the kind of quality entertainment you guys can expect from 24 hours of This Is Only a Test. Okay, so what are we doing for 24 hours, guys? Do you have anything planned out?
There's a whole schedule in front of me, so yes.
Okay, so that worked out. We have a whole cadre of fantastic guests coming up.
Is that the official
collective
noun for guests?
Because I used cadre earlier. I think it's now stuck in Will's head. Cadre has now become the drinking word or something.
Every time we say cadre, Ozone has to donate a dollar.
Okay, let's do that.
That worked the first time.
Yeah.
We have a ton of great guests. Coming up at the 1 o'clock hour is Brad Shoemaker. 2 o'clock hour, Dave Snyder.
Wow.
So we're doing a giant bomb / unemployed new startup, double whammy there. I don't know what Dave's going to talk about. I think, Brad, we're going to talk about new consoles with Brad because that's at the forefront of everybody's minds. And you can follow along all 24 hours. We're on 3 places. This content is going out 4 places, really.
Whoa.
You can chat directly with the tested audience at tested.com/chat. Watch the stream.
That's where the hip kids
chat
are.
With people. It's where the cool kids are. It's a low traffic.
We're all there right now.
I'm there.
We're also on
YouTube. So you can find us on the YouTubes. Maybe Norm will go out and send a blast out to all of our YouTube subscribers to let them know to check out that subscription page. We're on Mixlr. If you want an audio-only stream that will work on pretty much any device that has a web browser. So that's mixlr.com/WillSmith. And then we're also on Twitch TV. We were going to put it on Justin, and I asked, and everybody said, no, don't put it on Justin.
Is it the same?
No, the technology is different now. So there's like iOS web-based iOS client for Twitch that isn't on Justin yet and stuff like that.
Another technical note, the Mixlr stream does not sound good, apparently. It sounds weird.
So Joey will be working on that in the background. There's nothing I can do about that.
I appreciate it. It's good that you call attention
to our many failures.
Well, I mean, we could either, know about them or not and have them continue to be bad.
That's true. The only way a failure is really a failure is if you don't learn from it. So now we've learned. We should have gotten here at 9 o'clock instead
of
10 o'clock.
First step is admitting you have a problem.
I think the mistake was going to get breakfast, frankly.
What was wrong with that?
Well, we lost 30 minutes. Those extra 30 minutes would have been great 12 minutes ago.
Simmer down.
Yes, but we're also all good that now. Breakfast was,
it was
know,
a pretty,
it had value.
It was a delicious breakfast.
Yeah. You got to start there with some protein.
I'm hearing a little bit of an echo from Gary, but I think it might just be in my headphones. So what all is going on with you guys? We haven't seen you in a while, Gary. What's going on?
Yeah, I didn't remember the last time I was here.
It's been a month at least.
It's been a while. I don't get to do it as often as I think we've had a
Jeremy, a Lloyd, and 2 Wes's since you were here last.
Yeah, that's usually how I remember it, is like how many people have been
that's
on
how,
since
that's,
I was
that's
last
your
on.
Worth, right? Your worth is a Jeremy, a Lloyd,
I'm
and 2 Wes's.
I'm worth at least 1 Lloyd, 1 Jeremy, and 2 Wes's.
At least.
In the currency of podcasting. It's been
that
a while.
That sounds right.
What have I missed? We missed Apple announcements. We missed.
Have you been here since the 5S came out?
Surface 2. No, I wasn't here for the 5S.
Do you have a 5S?
No.
Whoa.
There you go. First big bombshell of the week.
Boom.
Yeah.
Things
Gary,
are changing.
Gary skips the iPhone 5.
I've still got my good old-fashioned 5 right over here.
So we podcasted
right
earlier
choice.
This week about this past week's Apple announcements. I don't know. You have any opinions about any of the things that were discussed?
I always have opinions. That's why I'm here.
No snap opinions, though. These are carefully reasoned, well thought out opinions.
Well, that's why I think, when those people are live streaming and live blogging, I'm glad that there's been a little bit of a...
Those people?
Well, people like you, basically, that just have these kind of knee-jerk reactions on Twitter. I'm glad that some people are stepping away from that and deciding that it's better to think... Just take 5 minutes and think about something before you go, this is horrible or this is great.
So here's
the thing.
I'm a little bit offended, but B...
Good, that's what I was going for.
The knee-jerk reactions are almost always right. Virtually always correct.
Really?
That's not a reason to have a knee-jerk reaction.
Is this a Malcolm Gladwell blink thing? Here's the thing.
The power of not thinking?
The things that I had knee-jerk reactions to this year were that free is pretty much the only fair price for Mavericks. I think that's correct, even after using it more.
We can also talk about Mavericks.
Your mic is dead.
My mic is dead.
Your
now.
Mic is very quiet.
I don't know what I can do to fix that. Hello.
I can hear him fine. He's in like cans.
I just turned up the gain, so it should be crazy loud now.
Wow. Technical difficulties as a way to kick this off.
There we go. I'm back.
All right. Hi. Will's back.
Is he back? He's never been gone out of my ears.
Maybe it just wasn't going out.
We're doing all sorts of fancy stuff so that Joey can talk to us through our headphones, but it won't go out over the stream.
Explain your philosophy of relentless negativity to me again from the beginning.
My philosophy is not relentless negativity.
Well, I mean, anyone following your Twitter feed during an Apple announcement might be led to believe
Let me tell you a secret about the last couple of Apple announcements. They've been kind of garbage. They're rolling out with products that are, you know, incremental and underwhelming. The iOS 7
incremental and underwhelming. I don't think a MacBook Mini or iPad Mini with Retina display.
So the iPad Mini with Retina is the one light point in an otherwise grim, foreboding Apple. Let's just run through the announcements. Mavericks. Do you like Mavericks, Gary?
I think it's a very minor update. There are a couple of things. Of all the updates that have come out recently, going back to, I don't know, probably Leopard is the last one that I can really remember the changes. It feels like the most minor.
Yeah. Snow Leopard. It's right up there with Snow Leopard.
Yeah.
Although Snow Leopard brought noticeable performance improvements. So this
was
is kind
Snow
of
Leopard the one where they said we can only, it was only like, that's when they first brought the price down to like 20
yeah,
bucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Somebody was sitting there was like, man, I don't think for unified OpenCL that no apps are using along with CPU computing.
Specs. Until they do the next big update, I think this is where they are now, right? They're basically, these are like service packs where they give them away for free.
Which is the right approach, just to be clear.
There are a couple of things about it. There's one or two features that I like very much. But for the most part, yeah, I think if it was 20 bucks, even at 20 bucks, a lot of people would be like, "What? Why would I bother?" Because it doesn't... I mean, there are a few things under the hood. Apparently, if you've got a laptop, you'll get better battery performance.
That would be 20 bucks for
that. That sounds great.
While.
I personally like the maps feature. I like being able to send maps straight to my phone.
Really?
Yeah.
But then you have to use Apple Maps.
But I use Apple Maps. In California, it's perfectly fine. I'm fully aware that Maps has a lot of problems in other parts of the country. People may be driving off bridges into the river or whatever. But where I go, in San Francisco and, you know, northern, southern California, back and forth, Apple Maps has never – it's never driven me into a brick wall or anything.
So
I generally find where I'm going.
Okay, so – I play a game sometimes where I load up Google Maps and Apple Maps and tell them to take me to the same place.
Yeah.
And then let Siri and the Google voice duel.
Can you do that?
Yeah, you can totally do that.
Wow.
It's a really bad idea.
I like Google Maps to have some
Is it better
benefits.
If you change it to the male Siri voice? So it's like a bickering like app couple?
That's not a terrible idea.
Google Maps definitely
turn
has
no,
some
turn
things
right.
going for it. It has a better voice, a nicer, more human-sounding voice. It has ultimately a better and much more mature map foundation, right?
Yes.
Because Google Maps has been doing this
and
for a
constantly
long time.
Being updated faster.
The other thing I like about it is you get the real time traffic being baked into your arrival time works much better in Google Maps than it does on Apple, and I think that's an important feature as well if you're trying to get somewhere in traffic or whatever. But like I said, the maps are accurate enough for me in the places I go. And I also like the fact that the Apple Maps is baked into the OS so that even if I go out of it, it's always on that top banner. I can get back to the maps very easily, whereas Google Maps is just treated like another app that gets folded into the background.
Well, that's the big problem with Apple Maps, with Google Maps, is that it's not integrated with the OS and there's
right.
no way to make that the default setting
right.
unless you use Gmail and Chrome instead of Mail.app
right.
and Safari.
So right, on so Mavericks, I like being able to. Mavericks. I pull up my maps on my Mavericks and say, "Well, I want to go here," and it plots out a destination for me. And I say, "Send that to my phone," and it goes to. It's all linked up via iCloud, and then I don't have to mess around. When I get in the car with my phone to put a thing into my map.
You've been able to do that for a long time, though, because you could do that with the Chrome Send to Mobile feature. If you are a Chrome user, you just load up Chrome, load up Google Maps
not,
in Chrome, and blast the URL over, and it pops right up and opens straight in Google Maps.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mavericks is kind of underwhelming. It's a service pack, essentially.
I mean, when you go through the Mavericks, when you go to their splash page and say, "Here's why you should get Mavericks," their number one feature is iBooks. Like that's what an update this is.
If it's battery life, I would pay.
I haven't seen the battery life improvement, though, although it's difficult for me to judge because I have been on a kind of incremental thing going through a bunch of betas.
They got rid of the skeuomorphism. I imagine
that's
you'd
nice.
Be happy about that.
I like that.
There are some neat little features in Safari. The iCloud keychain is a thing. I mean, there's lots of, generally what happens is it's what I've noticed is it's rarely like the top line features like iBooks and maps and things like that, but it's the hundreds of tiny little things you go, oh, you can do this now. That's handy.
And just to be clear, that's one of the things that Apple's always done that I really liked is with every OS X update since I've been using OS X, they always have that page that has, here is all of the stuff that we changed. You know, it's this and this and this and this and this and this and this, which is, I think, super cool. Really a good thing. Let's move on.
Well, okay. So, other
so Maverick's not not particularly. Do you think this is the last one? Do you think the next one will be a big overhaul of the OS?
No, because Mavericks was the first of the new naming schemes inspired by California.
Right. So the next one's going to be like Fresno or whatever it is. It'll be kind of just another.
They wouldn't
Grapevine.
They wouldn't have
Comic Con.
They wouldn't have switched to a new naming scheme if they were planning on doing OS 11.
Right.
Like this would have been Sea Lion or Lemur or something. Right. Some house cat.
So is that their way of saying more incremental
updates? Get used to it, motherfuckers.
There's not going to be a big overhaul.
Get used to it, motherfuckers.
But it does seem like, I think with Mavericks, we're seeing the first real indication that they are trying to make it a more iOS 7 type experience.
No way, dude. We've been seeing that since Lion.
But I think this is the most that I've felt it with this update.
Well, it's clearly they're moving toward a unified interface. But the thing that I like about Mavericks, and this is actually the good part, is they didn't shovel anything that doesn't make sense on a desktop like Launchpad and that kind of stuff into the OS. They also have refined a lot of the stuff that they dumbed down at some point in the past, whether it was with Lion or Mountain Lion. Like Spaces on multiple monitors works really, really well now. Like if you are a multiple monitor user and you haven't upgraded to Mavericks yet, you're really missing out.
Yeah, I'm not a multiple monitor user, but I know that people who do regularly use multiple screens are very pleased about this update.
But an unexciting update.
It means
overall lame.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. After that, talk about Mac Pros. Talk about Mac Pros for a moment, gentlemen.
Now the new Mac Pro is pretty sexy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super cool. I don't know who the market for that machine is anymore.
The Mac Pro is actually the machine which in recent Apple history has been given the most reinvention, right? Everything else is just incremental, but the Mac Pro they have actually completely redone.
I mean, since the Air, which was the redesigned Air, which was the last kind of big, because the Retina MacBook is essentially a MacBook Pro without a slot, you know. The Mac Pro is really interesting, but since the main market, as I understand it, for that was people who were doing Final Cut work, and many of those people are abandoning Final Cut 7 for Premiere and other tools that aren't necessarily Mac exclusive. I don't know who spends $3,000 on that workstation, 3 to 6, whatever it goes up to.
If you work in special effects or other creative fields, let us know if you want to buy a Mac Pro.
I mean,
I'm sure there's a market for it.
I totally get that there's people out there. It seems like it's going against the direction Apple's been going. You know, they've been drilling down and getting more and more consumer, moving more away from the pickup truck and toward the sports car and the scooter. And I don't know, you know, to use Jobs' analogy, I get why they did it. I'm glad they did it. I think it's an interesting product. I wish that there was, you know, I applaud. I think that the direction to go SSD only on that machine is definitely forward looking, but I don't think we're there yet with the costs for flash storage.
But wouldn't you imagine that a lot of people would just put in a Thunderbolt hard drive as well?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, paying a high premium for Thunderbolt hard drives is exactly what most people who are in a IT type situation
they're
want.
Paying high premium for that computer.
I know it's an expensive machine for what it is. And like if you're a video editor, having a whole shitload of SSD, having the amount of SSD space that they put in those does you no good because it's not enough. If you're a CAD, if you're doing CAD work, it's the same situation. And you're looking at another, say, $1,200 plus cost of drives for a Thunderbolt RAID array, which isn't terribly expensive. But by the time you're fully outfitted without a monitor, you're looking at $5,000 or $6,000 on that thing pretty fast.
It does puzzle me a little bit. I mean, like, who is the market, right? It's professionals. It's people whose computer sits under a desk. The Mac Pro has always been the least sexy looking Mac, right? Because it's a utilitarian Mac. It's not supposed to wow people. It's just supposed to do its job. It's a workhorse.
It still looked great doing it.
And yet, a big part of this reinvention has been about, oh my God, look at this beautiful, lovely, sexy, round, black 2001 type thing. But again, the people that are in the market for this machine shouldn't really be caring about that. It sits under their desk and it just does its job.
It's a handle.
So I do wonder why, as Will says, more IT procurement people and just people in general just say, well, wouldn't it be cheaper just to build a high-end PC? It's very easy to swap components in and out, and everything's, it's not proprietary like a lot of the Apple stuff. Why not just do that?
Yeah.
Especially since people, again, if people are abandoning Final Cut because they don't like the changes that Apple made, that was really the number one reason to work on a Mac, was that Final Cut was the standard. And I think it still is in many places.
Yeah, so, okay, so Mac Pro, I mean, it's a beautiful machine. It is a workstation you put on top of your desktop. I think that's very cool. I think in 2 years, if they keep with that machine, when SSD prices are down enough that you can put 2 or 3 terabytes of SSD storage in there and it not cost a fortune, that it's a really interesting machine. But it doesn't have upgradable graphics for the most, as far as we can tell. They haven't really said anything about that yet that I'm aware of. And, you know, it's a niche market for what is increasingly a mainstream company. But the next thing is neat. I mean, I'm glad that they finally updated the Mac Pro Retinas, MacBook Pros with Retina, because yeah. It's time. So Haswell on MacBook Pros with Retina, 13-inch. We talked about this a little bit on this week's This Is Only a Test, so apologies if it's a rehash. But the 13-inch is integrated graphics. The 15-inch has an option of getting discrete graphics. I think either of those are probably pretty good machines. The Haswell graphics have been pretty impressive.
Yeah, the Mac Pros have been due for an update for a while, so this is good.
Okay.
And they're keeping the 13-inch MacBook Pro with the slot, which I thought would probably go away this
year. Non-retina.
The non-retina.
The old school one.
Yeah. So
when you say the slot, what do you mean, like a CD drive?
Yeah, DVD drive.
Right, okay.
Still has a DVD drive. Super drive.
Super drive.
Yeah. DVD and CD burning. It's crazy. Okay, so now it gets into interesting stuff. The iPad Air, I was initially kind of underwhelmed because I thought that the iPad already weighed a pound, when in reality it weighs a pound and a half, the 10-inch iPad. It is a nice-looking piece of hardware. I am reserving all further judgment about it until I actually get a chance to hold it in my hand.
You have always complained about the iPad being too heavy, so maybe this is finally the...
And I've never owned the iPad 2. I've only had the iPad 1 and the 3, which only went pretty much heavier.
For me, I never thought the iPad was too heavy until I started using the Mini, and I'm like, oh my God, this other thing is ridiculous. And I got rid of my full-size iPad. I just used the Mini.
And this is something we said also in this week's podcast. It's asinine if you're going to buy both the Air and the new Mini. They're basically the same, and you're saving $100 by going with the Mini, which some people like you and will, like the smaller size.
Yeah.
You lose the screen size, get the same resolution. Maybe battery life is going to be a little
different. I do want to go in the store and check it out. I don't think I want a full-size one, but... It might be like the iPhone 5 where you pick it up and you go, wow, people said this was
so light.
So
you would go for both?
Crazy.
Because there's no way
I wouldn't get both. But the fact that they've staggered the release, if it was day and date on both of them, I would just get the Mini. But the fact that they're going to make us wait an extra three weeks.
That's not why they staggered the release. They staggered the release because they couldn't make enough Minis for the demand.
I think that's the reason.
But I think very few people,
and the side effect
even I'm
of that,
not stupid enough to buy both.
Yes.
So I don't think that's really a
don't buy both.
Yeah.
Even if you have, yeah.
But it is possible that I'll go into... I was all set to say, I don't want the full-size iPad anymore. I'm all about the Mini. Put Retina in that, A7, I'm good to go. That's the product that people really wanted.
Everyone's completely down with that, by the way. That's absolutely right.
But if I go into the store in early November on some crisp autumn day and pick up the iPad and it's
with
like...
With a belly full of millionaire's bacon.
Yes. It's light as a feather and I can really hold it in one hand. I might have to call an audible on that. Because, you know, that gadget lust then kicks in a real way.
You know, if you have an iPad in the living room and then an iPad for the nightstand, what's really the harm in that, Gary? You got a 16 gig for one of them, and then you're scrimping.
It is a bit overkill, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
No, you got to wait for the Mini.
The Mini's the way
to go.
Is it mid-November yet?
They just said later in November.
Oh, is it later in November yet then?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. It's going to be November 30th, isn't it?
I woke up the other day
it must be before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, right. It will have to be.
Thanksgiving is also the last week
Good
of November.
Point. I wonder if you better order them online. I really don't want to have to. I think I'm done standing in lines for products.
I
really want to believe that's the case. And I've got all my other things, all my other goodies for this Christmas are all pre-ordered already.
Yeah.
To be delivered. And I don't want to have to stand in a line.
Nobody wants to stand in a line. But sometimes, Gary, you have to stand in line. Sometimes.
You might have to because of your job, but I don't. I don't have to anymore.
I'll see you at Stonestown.
I'm an adult, and I make my own decisions.
See you at Stonestown.
No, look at me. I broke the streak on the 5S. I didn't get the 5S. I did not stand in line. Yeah. I did not even stay up late to do the mashing the order button until 3 o'clock in the morning. You're just as much of a sucker to do that, really.
Absolutely.
So
unless you need to do it for work.
I felt very invigorated. When I woke up the next morning after the iPhone 5S came out, and I didn't have one, and the sky hadn't fallen in, I was like, hey, maybe this is okay.
You're like an addict in recovery.
Maybe I can live this way.
Cold turkey.
I have a last generation phone.
You're like Jesse Pinkman in the rehabilitation center.
Yeah.
You got to forgive yourself.
Yeah. It's kind of okay.
Yeah.
It is okay to not have the latest thing, Gary.
I'm at peace with it. Well, it's easy for you to say you have the latest thing.
Yeah, it's not really mine, though. I'm proud of you. You've done good.
I mean, you know, like I said, I've spent some real time with the 5S now, and it is a very nice phone. But no way is it enough of an upgrade to be worth it for me from the 5. I'm quite happy to wait for the 6. Because if I get the 5S now and burn my contract, I'm off contract right now.
Okay.
So if I were to get the subsidized price on the 5S, what I want to do is get back onto the cycle where I get the subsidized price on the big one.
That's the way to go.
And then skip the S generation. But I need, so I have to make that break now.
So right now you're off contract and you haven't gotten a phone yet?
Right.
I'm really proud of you, Gary.
So I'm going to hold so I can use my contract discount on the 6 and then skip. The S is the one where I'd be on contract, but I can skip it.
This is a good one to skip.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be clear.
It is. The thumbprint sensor is nice, but it's not enough to justify the phone.
The thumbprint sensor, so after I've been using this now for a couple of weeks. We shot the video, and our long in-depth review is up now. The thing that I like best about it isn't the thumbprint. It's actually the camera. The camera's really, really good in low light, which it turns out is my entire house. So I find myself taking pictures with it more often than the NEX, just because, like, if something interesting is happening, it's easier to whip that out than it is to get up and go grab the NEX. When I know something good is going to happen, I still grab the NEX. So, let's take a moment and talk about why we're here. Do you want to? It's been 30 minutes.
Sure. Only 30 minutes?
Only
48 more of these to go.
We're 148th. 124th would be 60 minutes.
Oh my god!
And actually, we're not even 124th because we're still 4 minutes short of the start. We're here to raise money for a couple of really good charities. Three: Child's Play, Doctors Without Borders, and the Electronic Frontier Foundation. If you want to give money to either of these charities in the name of Oktoberfest, and don't worry, none of the money will ever see our hands, so Gary and Norm can't take it to Vegas.
I don't really like that idea. To take any kind of finder's fee or anything.
You can't put it all on black. Which
I still think that would be the way to go. Think how happy those kids would be if we doubled their money.
If we tripled it and we had give each charity the
three times the money.
And if we lost it, it's not like they haven't really lost anything because they didn't have the money even to begin with.
You're not watching the podcast.
This kind of nonsense is why the money goes directly from CrowdTilt into the charity's bank accounts. So that we can't take it to Vegas and make bad decisions.
We could take it to Vegas. Just hear me out on this.
Okay.
We could take it to Vegas. We could put it all on black.
Okay.
And just for a few minutes, feel alive.
Just
feel that rush.
And then the rest of your life, you're going to feel the normal extra dead.
And if you lose, these kids are none the wiser. Like you said, they're not listening to this.
So the other benefit of the money going directly from the charity and never seeing us is that people can get a tax-deductible receipt for their donation. So if you donate money to Oktoberfest-sponsored charities, Doctors Without Borders, Child's Play, and the EFF, then, and this is going to blow your mind, you can deduct that money from your income at the end of the year as if you never earned it.
I am familiar with the fact that when you donate to charity, tax deductions
yeah, so,
take place.
So it's a good thing. These are tax-deductible 501c3PO charities.
I always feel like maybe that takes some of the charity out of it, though, because if you're getting the money back from the government anyway, are you really
giving
anything?
You're not getting all the money back. You're getting about a third of it back.
It's 30 to 40% off of your donation. Yeah. So if you donate $400, it's really – hold on. Let me do it the other way. Yeah, if you donate $400, it's really like you're only paying $300 for that donation.
Or the other way is if you want to only contribute $300, the extra $100 is care of the government.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama. So tax deductible, the URLs, it's easy to donate. You can go to tested.com.
Is it true that only American people can donate?
To CrowdTilt?
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know about that.
Is it somebody said you had to be in the U.S., but I don't know if that's true.
I don't know about that. I didn't even think to ask that when I set up the thing with them.
Yeah.
It may be. You may be able to PayPal. Maybe you can PayPal your money to a friend in the U.S., and then they'll do the donation for you. Because what could possibly go wrong with that? Norm's going to turn your money into three
or
times
Or PayPal
money.
It directly to me.
No, don't.
And I will personally see that it gets to the right people.
And I'll hold you accountable.
And by the right people... I mean, my bookmaker.
Yes.
Mr. Pai and Mr. Gao.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so what else is going on here?
Well, let's take a step back.
Tested.com/kids, tested.com/doctors, tested.com/electrons. All three of those URLs will take you there, and that is pretty much what you need to know.
This is not the right version of the app, Joey.
That is the problem here. I'm going to get it right now. Okay. We're working on Mixler, by the way. If you guys are waiting for the Mixler stream, that's what we're working on right now. We'll Wiley, you guys talk amongst Mixler. Yourselves.
Norm and I will talk.
We will.
Now, Gary, Norm, I want to ask you, Norm, all this Apple talk, does this when Will and I talk about Apple now, does it just sound like the teacher from Peanuts? Like, wah, 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 wah,
no,
wah. Because you are now Mr. Surface, Microsoft, Android, HTC person. You don't have any Apple products left in your life.
I do. It's underneath the table, actually.
What do you have under there?
I have my MacBook Air right now as my backup computer. So okay.
But you use a PC at home, don't you?
I do use a PC at home.
Okay.
Yeah. The Surface 2 right now, which I don't think you've seen before.
No. This is the Surface 2.
This is the 2. So is this a
big improvement from the Surface 1?
Yes, it is a big improvement from the Surface 1, but there are two Surfaces, remember. There's a Surface RT and there's
the
Pro.
The
Pro that we have set up over there, that's going to be our Skype machine, is last year's Pro. We don't have the new Pro.
What's this one?
This is the Surface 2, which replaces the RT. It's still ARM.
This is not a full PC.
This is not a full PC. I do have a desktop here, and I'm using Internet Explorer on the desktop.
How do you do that if it's RT?
Because RT still has a desktop for file browsing, for the Office apps, and for Internet Explorer.
Okay.
But you can't install any x86 programs on this.
Right. You couldn't put Steam on that or anything.
You couldn't put Steam on it. You couldn't put your instant messaging on it.
You can't put Chrome on it.
You can't put any web browser on it except Internet Explorer.
Mm.
So even in the RT apps, there's nothing.
So how have they made this one better than the last one that was a big flop?
So the last one, the Tegra 3 for Windows RT, was not particularly fast enough for the RT apps. And the apps weren't optimized yet. Much better with the Tegra 4. I'm doing actually a battery rundown, so it was 100% when we started. So when this dies, at the end, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours in, I'll know how long the battery lasts.
Okay. How long is it supposed to last?
I think 8 hours.
All right. Now, the previous Surface RT came in for a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
Has this obviated some of those?
The biggest criticism, there are two big criticisms. One was performance in terms of apps crashing and loading, how long that stuff took, and two, the app ecosystem. Now, we talked to Panos Panay, the Microsoft VP, the guy who invented the Surface and runs the whole Surface department, and he said, name an app. Name something you need to do on the on Windows that's not there now. Yes, we concede that a year ago the app ecosystem with Windows 8 launched and there weren't enough apps. But now we've remedied that. There's Twitter and there's Facebook. Sure, there's Twitter and there's Facebook.
Is it still grim, the rest of it?
It's very grim. I don't have my banking app. There's no Spotify.
Can you use IE to bank? Or is it a supported browser?
You can use Internet Explorer to bank. You cannot use Internet Explorer to Spotify. The fact that you still only have Internet Explorer as the only browser, not great.
I don't think – I'm going to go ahead and – I don't want to alarm you, but I don't think Apple or Google are going to release their browsers for that. Firefox maybe eventually. It just takes them a while, right?
Does this still have the problem with most of the hard drive space not actually being usable?
This is a 32-gig model, and no, it's still – with the 32-gig model, I think you still have to use that separate USB –
So the nice thing about the partition, the RT has a micro SD slot, so you can jam a 64-gig micro SD card in
That's good.
For another $100.
Yeah. It looks nicer than model.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind. It was hidden. Yeah, it does. It's right there. Yeah.
It looks like a better build than last year's.
Yeah, it's a very nice build. The biggest physical change is this hinge.
Did they make that more sturdy?
I don't know if it's more. I'm not going to break it.
You don't do what you did last time.
Norm broke the last one.
Can we show that clip?
No, dude, we can't show that clip.
I find that painful to watch.
That clip has never been released online, right?
It's
Let's make that a stretch goal.
Okay. It's horrible to watch.
We're going to release the clip. It's a year ago.
It's like watching a bad sports injury or something. You know, where you go, oh, you have to look away. It was painful to watch.
Yeah, it really was. It was
basically Norm was stress testing the hinge on the first Surface.
I wasn't even stressed. I was trying to prove how strong it was.
Well, that's the same thing, isn't it?
I was trying to say, this is really strong. And as I was showing how sturdy
it
was,
to break it.
It popped.
And it made this sickening crunch, crack type. You just know it's fucked.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
My heart cracked when that happened.
Yeah.
And I said to Joey, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I said, we shouldn't have been. It was a year ago. So I said, it's because we've been doing all these push-ups
You don't know your own strength anymore.
We didn't know our own strength. Let's make it a stretch goal. Let's say.
Do you want me to tell you where we're at right now before you decide what stretch goals should be?
Do we have some money already?
Holy shit, we have some money already.
Yeah, where are we at in terms of the charities?
Okay, so I'm reloading the Crowd Tilt pages. Doctors Without Borders has $2,059.17 already.
Wow.
We're 40 minutes in. That's amazing. Thank you guys so much.
That's pretty great.
Child's Play has $169.
Okay.
Should have started with Child's Play, probably. and then Electronics Frontier Foundation is at, I think, $325. So somebody must have made it.
So Doctors Without Borders is the clear leader so far.
People like Doctors Without Borders. I don't know how many contributors we have to each one. It looks like, I mean, and just to be clear, every donation is welcome, even a buck. Like, there's a big thing on Kickstarter right now about how those buck donation rewards, the things that just let you put your name in the credits for a game or something like that.
Yeah, they add up.
Those add up really fast, and people are much more likely to say, okay, yeah, I'll give you $1 than even 10. So
yeah. Let's say when one of these charities hits $5,000.
$5,000, you'll roll that clip?
We'll roll the clip.
Does Joey have that clip? Is this a promise we can actually deliver on?
Yes, because it's hidden on our YouTube.
Oh. Huh?
Absolutely not. When we hit $5,000
on one charity?
On one of the charities.
We will show you.
We will show
fucking up a Microsoft Surface.
So you're favoring
doctors.
You're favoring Doctors Without Borders because people are going to start pumping money into that. Maybe it's $5,000 across all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that.
And we'll just eyeball it. I'll keep an eye on it.
When we hit 5,000, when we reach 15,000, which is reasonable.
Right.
15,000 total.
5,000 total.
Oh, total. Okay.
Yeah,
add them all up.
So we're at 3,000 right now. Let's just say we got 2,000 to go, and then you get to watch Norm destroy a Surface RT. I have it over there. Yeah, I have it over there. I can go grab it and hold it up so you can see proof.
Oh, it's still here.
You know what sucks?
The corpse of it.
Well, I tried to find a replacement stump, but they don't sell them. They don't sell the replacement hinge.
Because
they don't sell the replacement parts.
Because as Panos Panay said in our meeting with him, it's unbreakable. It's still unbreakable.
It's not true.
That's
patently untrue.
Madam, God himself could not sink this ship. So if you felt like if you did the same thing on this one and gave it a good press down, this wouldn't break?
If you tripped and fell on it, it would pop.
No, but I mean, just give it a reasonable amount of pressure.
Like, I don't want to do this. Well, with the new Surface too. What did change is that they added a second hinge angle.
Ah.
So before it was just this one.
Right.
Which they made a big deal out of how this like 60-degree angle was like the perfect
place to type in view.
Yep. Right. It turned out not so much. Especially with
the
Surface
Pro.
So
they were wrong about that.
Yes. And what they did was they added a second angle, so it bends down lower. And this one
looks better,
much
to me.
Better.
Yeah.
Not only like when I'm sitting down at a table, is it pointed more toward my eyes, but when I'm actually using this on a lap, like putting this on my lap, the weight, the center of gravity is lower, so it's less wobbly.
Is Microsoft going to be able to turn this around and make the Surface into something?
I mean, like,
they lost $900 million on the last generation.
They wrote it off.
Nothing compared to the Xbox One launch loss, the original Xbox One, not
right.
The new
and
Xbox
Microsoft,
One.
Like, so you know, they have the luxury of being one of these companies that can just keep throwing money after something. But eventually, like with the Zune, they do realize that they're just throwing good money after bad, and it's time to go. So I don't know what's going to happen here. Like, this is actually kind of analogous to the Zune, right? The first Zune and the first Surface were not great products, and they were huge flops. By the time the Zune 2 came around, it was actually a much better product that people liked.
You think about Zune HD.
That
was the last one before they killed it.
They finally got it right because they kept throwing money at it and kept trying. But by that point, it was too late.
MP3 players were gone.
They were absolutely on that same path because their strategy for the Surface is a three-year plan. 3 year increments.
It's really too bad that they couldn't just wait 3 years and release one that was good and have that
I still think, like, it seems like a good product to me. Like, I wouldn't get the RT, I would get the Pro.
Yeah.
But it looks, I'm actually surprised that given the RT was the one that gave them all the grief, that for this, they ditch it on the second one and say, look, this is just the Pro now.
Because it was all part of the strategy. This, too, was in the works before RT launched. And I'm sure it's a 3 year plan. So the next year's was already in the works. And so what I think what's going to happen is first year and second year, very similar. It's faster, a little thinner. Pro actually is the exact same size and weight. It just has Haswell and slightly longer battery life.
Yeah.
6 hours is the most people can get out of that.
Slightly shorter battery life, you mean?
The Pro is slightly longer. 2 is longer than 1.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
Next year, I think they're going to have the smaller size tablet. They're going to have a...
A 7-inch?
A 7-inch, and maybe something that's actually thinner and lighter for the Pro.
Here's the other thing that I really like about the second generation Surfaces is the touch covers and the type covers are both much more rigid. So, and I think it's in the hinge. The hinge is less flappy. So when you have it on your lap, you can actually type, and you couldn't do that before. I gave a lot of shit to the first Surface. I did not think it was a very good product. I didn't think anyone should spend money on them. This one, I actually am interested in spending some time with to see
Not when they announced it.
When they announced it, you know.
I
was on Twitter when they announced
it. The other thing they brought in this generation that I really liked
was... You tweeted, they released something someone didn't want last year and made it faster and thinner.
Just to be clear, addressing the problems with a device that didn't work and didn't have any apps by making it faster and thinner when it still has no apps, I don't think people should buy the RT. I don't think anyone should buy any RT devices, just to be 100% clear. That hasn't changed. You said it yourself. It only has one browser. That browser is IE, and there's no apps.
It's a very limited device.
Yeah. Like, don't spend your $600 on anything else and you'll be happy.
But essentially, a complete PC in that form factor is really
good. Yeah, the Pro's nice. It's just expensive. So, yeah.
The other thing I saw, I don't know if it's a real thing yet, but I really like the idea that they released these custom keyboard blades. Like, I saw the one that was like a DJ mixing desk. That's really cool.
That's their big initiative, and I'm sure next year will be a big part of that.
Because theoretically, it could be anything, right? That would plug in. That it doesn't have to be just a QWERTY keyboard. You could make all kinds of stuff.
The touch cover that they have, the second generation one, has I think 1,000 different sensors inside it. So it's not like one sensor per key.
Right.
It's just evenly distributed. So you hit partial keys.
So you can map anything to it.
And so they can screen print any design on top. And I can imagine the DJ thing, I think that's like it's hip because a lot of the Surface marketing is like with dancing and DJs.
Yeah.
What's the overall market of DJs that are into weird accessories? Because like there are a lot of DJ-specific weird accessories.
Every DJ has a Mac. That battle is over. Like they can release. It's a nice idea, but they're not going to get people to switch over.
But like I one of the things that we had talked about with Panos was like a Photoshop-specific template.
Right.
So if you wanted to have a set of you know like buttons that you can hit your stylus with or your finger to change between tools in Photoshop, there's no reason they couldn't make something.
You know what would be
rad?
And there's a million reasons why this could never work. Like, it just would not commercially make any sense at all. But you know how you used to get like keyboard overlays for games in the old days? You used to take the cardboard layout and put it over your keyboard.
What was that keyboard that
you
did
could,
that?
If this thing was a viable gaming machine and the blades could be made cheaply enough, you could ship games that had custom blades that were designed just for that game, and you'd swap them in and out and go, this is my flight sim blade or whatever. It'd be cool.
Yeah, or for video editing. Yeah. Because there are dedicated keyboards for video editing back in the old analog days.
Before we have a couple minutes before Brad Shoemaker, our next guest, arrives, or our first guest. He's not our next guest. He's our first guest. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about your Oktoberfest prep strategy? Because I think we each took a different approach to it, and I'm interested to see where we're at.
Okay.
At the end of hour one.
Sure.
Norm, what was your strategy?
In terms of sleep or food consumption?
Sleep and food, yeah.
Just the whole physical, the physiological.
We've got 7 minutes, so
physiological preparation strategy leading into a 24-hour podcast, since this is the third time we're doing it, had some experience.
You knew.
I knew.
Okay.
Was not to sleep a lot on Wednesday night.
Okay.
Deprive myself of sleep on Wednesday, so on Thursday, all Thursday, which I work from home, I would be tired, and so I could sleep early on Thursday night and have a full night, extended full night sleep Thursday night leading into today, Friday.
Did it work?
Yes. I feel refreshed, and I got a nine hours sleep.
Oh, good for you.
That is pretty good. And what did you eat for breakfast this morning?
I had bacon and eggs and avocado.
We did the same thing, except for no avocado. Gary, what was your strategy?
I didn't have much of a strategy. I didn't give it a lot of thought, and I didn't really have much opportunity. I've been very busy. I've been traveling around a lot. I haven't really been able to kind of, you know, like, stage my week the way if I wanted to plan it, I couldn't have done it anyway. And you know, any preparation you have to do is kind of based around the baby. The baby had been sleeping very well all week, so I thought it would be okay. But of course, last night she decides to scream her head off all night, neither myself nor my wife got much sleep. So I would have liked to have my strategy was just hopefully get a good night's sleep the night before. That didn't happen. I got a few hours of sleep, but not anywhere near as much as ideally I would have liked.
Do you guys have coffee today?
I'm drinking coffee right now.
We had breakfast. I had corned beef hash and eggs and toast and jam and a nice hot cup of coffee.
I didn't want to have carbs this morning.
Well, I just had some toast. I wanted to get pancakes, but Will talked me out of it because that would definitely come back and get you.
Yeah, you don't want to get loopy.
I am planning to dip into this.
This podcast is brought to you by Count Chocula.
By Count Chocula, and I guess it's General Mills.
Do you like the Count better than Frankenberry? I like the Frankenberry as a child. But I
feel like Count's the original.
Okay.
What I've noticed, I don't know if this is the case, but it used to be just Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry, right? When I went to Target the other day, they had like 8 different kinds. They had a werewolf one. They had a mummy. It was like they I don't know if those have always been around. I just hadn't noticed, or if they've decided to kind of extend the brand. But there's like 8 different kinds of, you know, spooky Halloween cereals now. But for my money, Count Chocula is really the only one. Some people, I guess, prefer Booberry or Frankenberry.
So folks in the chat are saying that CrowdTilt will accept international credit cards, but there's some question about whether you can actually sign up without a U.S. zip code. So we'll keep you posted as details emerge.
Okay.
In this
breaking
situation. Like I said,
send me the money.
That's a terrible idea.
And
don't do that.
Will make sure that it gets to the appropriate people.
Absolutely do not send Gary the money. Send it to me, and I'll give it to Gary. He'll take it to Vegas, put it on black, double everything,
it.
Maybe more.
And I'll take a small commission. Right. And the rest will go to all the needy charities.
What's the most
times? Basically, everybody wins.
If you put it all on black, how many times do you let it ride at most?
You don't let it ride.
Just go one time. Yeah, it's one spin. Yeah.
Wasn't there a South Park where they did that? Where they got in deep with the Native American casino in their neighborhood?
I don't remember.
Seems familiar.
Should we tease also what's going to happen? I mean, aside from guests.
We've got crazy stuff. Yeah.
That we're planning for this 24 hours.
Gary already said he's eating Count Chocula. That's pretty hot.
I don't think you're going to have a hard time topping that.
We have starting at midnight, maybe even starting at 11, the most interesting man on the show contest starts. Drew Scanlon and Alexis Gajasar are coming by from Giant Bomb. Following them, Phil Broughton, Funranium on Twitter, the man who makes black butt of the earth, is making a personal delivery. He has been to, I think, I could be wrong, he's the only person we know that's been to Antarctica. And he lived there at McMurdo.
Right. And Drew's been to North Korea.
Drew's been to North Korea and Iceland. So we have both poles and one third of the Axis of Evil covered.
you say it like you're so disappointed.
Hey, you've had pea soup at Anderson's, though, right?
Yeah, that's about as good. Far as I've gone. It's the most exotic place I've ever been to. It's a restaurant with a windmill.
After Phil.
On the freeway.
Or maybe even while Phil's still here at 2, Patrick Norton is scheduled to come in and do
his
late shift.
I maintain that he is the most interesting, most erudite, most urbane man I've ever met.
I just like to pick random skills and ask Patrick about him. He was like, I used to do that.
Okay, so aside from guests, events.
Oh, events. Let's see, we're going to do a Lego build-off in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, we have an interesting spin on it this
Do you want
year.
To tease that? We're not going to do a race.
Not going to do a race.
This is an aesthetic.
Be a creativity.
Is it down there?
It's on the floor underneath Norm.
Should we announce it right now?
Let's save it. We got plenty of time to kill, guys. Let's not blow our load in the first hour.
Now, there had been a lot of talk about hot peppers.
Yeah. Since you were talking about it, I figured you'd get them. But what we're going to do is when we get near the end, we'll get some aggressive stretch goals for the campaign to last through the week, maybe even to the next week.
I don't think it's worth it if the hot peppers are not consumed on camera during Octobercast.
Yeah,
here's the thing.
I agree.
Well, we don't have the hot peppers, so that's not going to happen.
But the thing is, Will won't do it. Well, could easily procure them.
I can't do hot peppers.
When I did my review on Hot Pepper Gaming, you were even trolling me then, going, "Oh, is it just a habanero you're eating?"
So,
whereas you won't even you won't even touch it.
This is a marathon, man, not a sprint.
I told you, after 20 minutes, I was totally fine.
That's great. Everybody's affected differently. I know how I react to peppers.
I've already done it, so I don't feel like I have anything to prove.
Well, we'll get a hotter pepper for you. So what the deal is, we're going to do stretch goals. Next Friday, we'll do another live show. Maybe at the end.
We can't do it next Friday.
Okay. So at the end of the contribution, which is on November 15th, we'll have another live stream when we find out if we made the stretch goals in the archival phase of Octobercast. And That's it.
So no hot peppers.
No hot peppers today.
Today,
mainly because we don't have any here, but also because I'm not doing that on camera. I would do it in like the last 10 minutes of the show. It's no fun.
No, absolutely, it's fun because that's when you're.
Well, then
most...
we take away from the guests that come in for the big finish and all that. It's not a good time. We could even do it after the show if we wanted, but I don't think anybody wants to hang out.
I bet you Jeff Green would do a hot pepper.
I know he'd do a hot pepper. He'll
basically do anything.
He wants his skull turned into a bong. Jeff Green is going to be here, by the way. He's coming at, I think, 9 o'clock tomorrow. Adam Savage is going to be here at 8 a.m.
instead of talking about guests, I didn't say, I say events, not guests, because we don't want to spoil the schedule. Events. We're also doing an Oculus challenge.
Ooh, yeah, so you're doing like an endurance anything challenge. Oculus related.
This is a trial by Oculus.
Yeah. So Norm has graciously volunteered to sit in the Oculus.
In the most uncomfortable chair in the office.
It's the smallest one. So
this is the Oculus chair over here?
It's such a sad chair.
That does look grim.
Norm is going to put on the Oculus. We have a steering wheel and pedals here, and he's going to drive in Euro Truck Sim 2002.
And it works with Oculus?
I tested it out yesterday. It worked great.
Okay.
You can turn your head in the cab. You can, like, hang out and back up. You have to back up the truck.
Only one game?
Isn't that really boring, Euro Truck Simulator?
I think it fits.
Isn't it like one of those fastidiously accurate simulations that the European developers do? There's one where you just have to drive around the streets of Berlin with like the
streetcars.
The garbage.
Oh, garbage truck simulator.
You know the truck with the little brushes that cleans
street sweeper.
Yeah, street sweeper.
Yeah, there's a farming simulator. None of those are Oculus enabled. Maybe next year we'll have
a desert bus. It's like the whole point. It's so boring that you actually kind of go through like a 2001 kaleidoscope of
I want
madness.
Norm to see God through the eyes of Euro Truck Sim 2.
Euro Truck Sim 2, play a bunch of different games that support Oculus. But the idea is you play Oculus.
The only thing
non-stop.
That's installed is Euro Truck Sim 2 and then a bunch of horror games.
This is a weird thing to do as a spectator sport because obviously it doesn't translate.
We're going
to
keep talking to Patrick while Norm's doing that. This is so he doesn't fall asleep at 2 a.m. like he usually does.
Okay, so does he have a specific mission and does he have to deliver a load?
I'm going
to
let him pick a starting city. Wow. This is what you guys are getting. We do not have a specific mission as of right now.
I feel like there should be something. Otherwise, how do we know if he'll just have to
we'll start in,
it?
We'll start in Ireland, make him drive across a ferry to England, drive through England, and then get to Italy.
I've always wanted to.
I don't even know if you can go to
that's a long haul.
It's a four-hour stretch.
It's condensed in the game.
Yeah.
It's not really that distance.
So Norm's going to do that. He has, I think, we have 4 hours blocked for that. But the way it's going to work is...
4 hours of nonstop excitement.
So you haven't heard... The challenge is 3 hours is the goal. I need to do 3 hours to meet the challenge. And people
will
pledge.
Is it like 3 constant hours?
No, 2 hours was the goal.
Okay, 2 hours is the goal. Any minute after 2 hours. So I need to hit that floor. Once I hit 2 hours, people who pledge, every minute they have to donate $1. So if you're pledging for me to do this, to do the Oculus challenge, trial by Oculus, whether it's the driving simulator or whatever other game, the recommended Oculus playing time is half an hour at most right now. My eyes could fall out at the end of this.
I've gone 2 or 3 hours.
I mean, just Oculus is not – right now, the Oculus kit, as great as it is not well suited for like really long gaming sessions.
No, you're not supposed to. You will get nauseous. We'll have hopefully a barf bag over there. But actively playing a game, so not like idling, actively playing for 2 hours, every minute after 2 hours – That's when we start making money. It's like that terrible Ryan Seacrest reality show, the $1 million minute or second challenge or whatever it is.
I don't know what that is.
I'm going to be in the hot seat. And every minute after 2 hours, money starts rolling in, theoretically.
Okay.
Theoretically.
I would hope so.
Theoretically. Hey, Brad's here. I turned you on, Brad. Joey, sorry about that. Hey, Brad, come on in.
Yeah. Wow, first guest,
Brad Shoemaker, ladies and gentlemen.
Right on time, 1 p.m.
We're going to turn your mic on, put on your headphones there. They should look familiar to you.
They certainly do. It's almost like I've worn them before.
Your microphone's on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brad Shoemaker.
Hi.
He's sitting directly to my right.
Hello.
Brad, people may know you from such websites as GiantBomb.com.
Yes.
GameSpot.com.
In a former life, yeah.
Batman.com.
I don't think that's up anymore.
Oh, it's gone now. iPad. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
By the way, I really pissed off the chat by saying that Euro Truck Simulator is boring.
It is.
Maybe it's not.
Have you ever played it?
No.
It's really good.
To be fair, I said that based purely on just a prejudiced guess of what that
no,
kind of game is.
Know your audience, Gary Whitta.
But those farming German street sweeper type hardcore simulations are known for being... Isn't it just one of those?
Manual labor simulation?
These Pat Peppers, can you buy them at any grocery store?
Yeah, they're like 25 cents each.
I'm going to have Wes buy some
Pat Peppers. Get some habaneros.
Habanero.
You don't want to go too hot.
Yep. Wes, if you're watching
habanero
this...
Habanero is a good baseline.
Any color? What color?
I think Wes is in chat right now.
The habaneros are generally
orange
in color.
Orange. Yeah, like a bright orange. So wait, I'm coming in the middle here. Have you guys talked about your experience already?
No, we haven't talked about it. We can talk about it though.
Okay.
So, but
he made it look easy.
Wes, if you're watching this, bring the milk, the whipped cream,
full fat whole milk, oh my God. hot peppers,
and whipped cream.
And also, no, you don't need whipped cream.
But yeah, you do need whipped cream.
Whipped cream is the best thing.
This
for
is something else I learned from Hot Pepper Gaming, because they know what they know their shit over there. Is Tums. Get some Tums.
Do you preload that?
No, you take it afterwards.
Oh, I was thinking about coating with Pepto-Bismol on the way down.
The number one key is simply whole milk, full fat milk. That
you know the secret with the whipped cream, right? If you get aerosol whipped cream,
yeah.
You turn your head back, put it in your mouth.
What are you, whippets?
No, dude, you're not. You know, that's when you. This is for the kids, by the way. That's when you have it upside. When you don't squirt the whipped cream out. When you want to get whipped cream out, you hold it upside down. You put it in your mouth, and it fills every surface of your mouth.
It's like maximum surface area.
That got affected with the hot pepper.
It's like an airbag going off in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly, and it totally it gets in all the crevasses, so that any little bits of hot go away.
Yeah. Well, I found that. I mean, we can talk about my hot pepper gaming experience. I did find that just taking a good glug of whole milk and just swishing it around.
Gargling?
Yeah. I mean, it takes 70-80% off it immediately. Yep. It's immediate relief.
But you don't get that until you've made it through your review, right?
No, you're not supposed to take it until... Well, I was in such a state of delirium that I forgot the milk was even there.
In all seriousness, it does induce like an adrenaline response.
Yeah, the milk is sitting off camera, and I was like, I'd done the review. I said, this is the review, blah, blah, blah. And Vernon, the guy that runs Hot Pepper Gaming behind the camera, is going like, you can have the milk now. And I'm like, oh, shit, I can have the milk. And
so was really funny.
And I instantly felt much better. So, and people that said that the real price is to be paid the next day, I didn't find that to be the case either.
I have that with spicy food.
Yeah, but you have no tolerance for spicy food, right?
I like a medium high level of spice, but once you get into like the painful, like habanero and beyond is where I usually draw the line.
So I think that you should do a habanero.
I don't like a ghost pepper would probably put me in the hospital. I've had jalapenos
even I wouldn't do a ghost pepper. That's serious business.
I've had jalapenos before.
Six?
Get like half a dozen.
Yeah. Tell him not to touch his eyes after he picks them up at the grocery store.
They're only like literally like 25 all right, cents a pepper.
I'm going to extend the Oculus challenge. If I get the 3 hours,
could you do a hot pepper and do the Rift?
So I'm going to 2 hours of Rift.
We will actually need EMTs.
Every minute
by.
After 2 hours.
Bad idea. Can you actually injure yourself with pepper? With capsaicin?
I think so.
I watched some videos of people kind of going over.
Psych yourself out?
You'd probably
no, this was
have a heart
this
attack.
Was after the fact. And I was watching ghost pepper videos, and you know people are eating too many ghost peppers. I mean, they are seriously debilitated.
The best one is the one where the guy in the Eeor suit walks over and kicks the guy in the balls afterwards.
The guy that eats the ghost pepper and then the guy in the donkey suit kicks him in the balls. It's perhaps my all-time favorite video on YouTube.
It's the best video I've ever seen on the internet. It's like everything I want in a YouTube video.
At the 3-hour mark for Oculus, trial by Oculus, after 60 minutes of raising money for how many people want to pledge, that's when I will do the hot pepper. And that's when you said, if I have the hot pepper on the show, on Octobercast, you would...
I would donate.
Donate $500.
Yes. And especially if you do it while you're playing the Rift.
I will do it while on the Rift, as the finale. I will throw off the Rift to put the drink the milk as the way to end the challenge.
Well, Gary was polite and thoughtful enough to volunteer my services to Hot Pepper.
No, I didn't volunteer them. I just said that I would like to see – I think you'd be a good candidate.
Well, then they responded and said they did.
So are you going
to
do it?
I have not followed up with them, and I don't intend to.
But you retweeted my tweet, which I took as like a kind of endorsement.
Yeah, I was a little 50-50.
You have a thing on your Twitter that says retweets do not indicate endorsement?
Probably should.
This should totally cover you.
Probably
here.
Should.
How are you with hot?
I like spicy food for sure.
So you could probably be.
But I also ate part of a raw habanero one time and wanted to die. So
I gotta say the habanero. I actually think, not to brag or anything, but I think I did pretty good. And I think I actually could have done. If I were ever to go back, I would go hotter. I'd probably do like a Scotch bonnet or something.
Holy
crap! Because it was. I think what had happened was I'd psyched myself up for it so much. And again, the guys that run it were saying, like, yeah, you're going to be very unhappy for, like, 20 minutes. And it was like, this doesn't sound... I felt like he was, like, trying to, you know, ease me into it, but it was going to be worse than I expected. So I was dreading it right and up until the very last second. And I even made it worse for myself because the other tip they give you is, like, they give you a bunch of tips. One thing is, it's like, make sure you get it all the way down to the stalk. Because if you leave anything, which I did, I left a little bit left. They said, if you leave anything... you're going to get shit in the YouTube comments for not eating the whole thing, which duly then happened because I didn't eat the whole thing.
Well, you got to eat.
And the other thing
you
got
to get it right. The best thing to do is what you're supposed to do is take one that doesn't even have a stalk on it, and then you can just pop the whole thing in your mouth, and then there's no question.
How long did you chew?
Well, so that's the other thing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They say the other tip is once you get it, just get it down as quickly as possible. You're going to have to chew it a little bit to get it down, but like just get it down your throat. The longer you leave it, depositing its evil seeds in your mouth.
The seeds in the ribs are where the heart lives.
Just get it down quickly. And I totally forgot that because I just, you know, you get nervous and you forget yourself. So I put it in my mouth. I was chewing it. And then I started reviewing the game. And Verna behind the camera is going, like, swallow it. And I was like, oh, shit. And so I left it in my mouth for way too long. But it wasn't that bad. It was, I mean, it was not, it is definitely hot. And what happened with me is I got a particular case of, like, this had never happened apparently, but I got really bad hiccups.
Mm. Oh, that
was pretty great.
Absolutely.
That's what threw me off more than anything else.
That doesn't typically happen to you, though?
No, I mean, I usually have a pretty high tolerance for spicy food.
That's kind of my trademark is hiccups after spicy food. That happens.
Yeah, but I mean, this was like, I was hiccuping like once every, they had a hiccup counter on me. I think I hiccuped like 20 times in 3 minutes.
So
I
totally get that. What are you supposed to have beforehand for a...
preparation, nothing.
To line your stomach, like, are you supposed to...
Before you go to Mexico...
You don't take anything ahead of time.
Like, do you need a lot of bread?
You could Pepto and coat that stuff up.
Some people will also eat bread afterwards. But really, the glass of milk is the magic bullet. If you just have a glass of whole milk, you're all good. That's all you need.
Do you feel it burning your innards? Does it, like...
You don't feel like the esophageal...
Yeah, or in the stomach.
...burn. It's all, like, it's all right
here. Just up here? Okay.
And it is... It's not pleasant at all. It's way more, and it sticks around.
Doesn't
too.
It make you feel alive though?
You do feel alive. Over subsequent minutes it would dissipate, but it doesn't. It's a constant burn right up until the point where you can drink the milk, and then it really is like, you know, when you see someone put out a fire with a fire extinguisher, it just goes out instantly. Mm. That's kind of the experience. Like you're still aware of the fact that you ate something spicy, but it's like moderate as opposed to, oh my god, this is miserable. So it was a good experience. I enjoyed myself.
Cool.
And people, you know, it was a cool thing to be a part of. It's just like everyone's lining up to Vernon, the guy that runs it. They're actually making, I mean, you know, it's actually a little business enterprise. They're getting enough hits now that they make some money off of
it. Where do they shoot out of?
Just like out of his apartment in LA.
Oh, in LA. Okay. So there's my deniability then. Like, I'm not in LA very often.
Oh, but next E3 or...
Yeah, just do it at E3. It's perfect. Everybody wins.
Right. But people are lining up to do it now. Kid Rock said he wanted to do one. Was it Kid Rock or... No, it was Andrew W.K.
Okay. Okay, that makes more sense.
Which is, he's very believable.
He's down to party, I understand.
And they've started opening up to like promotional opportunities now. Developers will go on there and try to pitch you on their game while eating a hot pepper.
Maybe I should.
I learned a lot about the monetization of YouTube videos from those guys, because that's what Vernon, his day job is like. I think he works in like the YouTube.
Oh, this is
the
just
economics
a side,
of YouTube. This is,
a side
this is
gig
just,
for him.
Just a side project. And I was saying, like, those guys that do like Let's Play videos, the guys that have millions and millions of views, like PewDiePie and those characters, they're making like quit your job money.
Oh, yeah, totally.
This. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of money.
I was saying to these guys, like, those guys that do like Let's Play and have like 2 million subscribers, over, like, that's pocket money, but it's not like quit your job money. They're like, oh, yes, it is. Like, it's serious money.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's real money.
I had no idea.
YouTube money.
But it is a job. It's not quit your job and like live fancy free.
It's quit your job to do this other job. It's have this becomes your job.
Like, I know guys who...
Because those guys are putting up constant content.
Yeah, I know guys who live off of that, but they all say that it's a 7-day-a-week job. You know,
right.
Like, you're doing it all the time.
Right.
So.
But it's real money.
Yeah, but it absolutely is.
And they were saying that the
money.
Other thing is the economics of it, the way that you're paid is not on how many clicks, but how long people watch your video for.
Oh, you mean engagement.
Yeah. The more ads
so
the
you're
people at, watch,
so
the more
that's,
they...
So you're actually... Incentive. I guess it's a good thing. You're incentivized to actually create content that people stick around and watch.
Oh yeah. So Brad,
hi.
How you doing, man?
I'm okay.
Welcome to the show.
Friday. Yeah. Glad to be here at the top.
Yeah. You're our first guest.
Caught you guys fresh.
You came in late last year, as I recall. Like 8, maybe 9.
No. I came at like 7 a.m. last year.
Oh, that's right. Because you were here with Jeff last year.
Yeah. It was awesome. I woke up and went to the Dim Sum Bakery and got brought pork buns, and you guys were...
So you're doing that this year, too,
right?
You came in on the tail end last year,
You guys were flagging at 7 a.m.
This is... You're getting the better end of the deal, because we're all like, we're still excited. Yeah. Well, I'm not excited.
Bright-eyed.
But, we're optimistic.
You seem pretty excited.
I'm not optimistic.
You're talking really fast.
We at least
you
have
got
a
energy.
Full... We have a full tank of gas right now.
Well...
Whereas you've seen the difference.
Well, last year, what time did you guys start? It was like 7 p.m.?
6 p.m.
That was a big mistake.
Will says...
I went back and reviewed the clip. It was unequivocal that you guys wanted to start at 6, and I wanted to start at noon.
Really?
Yes.
I would need to see the tape.
What possible... What is that?
It's a special gift. All I guess.
This is one of the
get an exclusive.
Get one of the good ones.
Oh, thank you.
There's some that are aired. So Eric Young Frey from Tested made a handful of these awesome copper etched. They're the old Tested logo. Tested, please. And they're refrigerator magnets.
Oh, that's awesome.
So wow, don't lick you. It, because copper compounds are generally poisonous.
Here, smell.
So,
show the camera again.
And we can show the camera.
Wow,
look,
that's super
right here.
Cool.
It's going to be small, but there you go.
We've already got a $5 a minute pledge for your Oculus challenge.
Yes. $5 a minute, that's great. That's if you make it 2 hours beyond the two-hour mark.
I'm only making 1 hour. That's all we're talking
about. No, we can go as 4 hours if you want.
All right.
Yeah.
Even better.
I mean, I'll completely cancel Oculus Horror if you if you're making $5 a minute. Yeah. Oculus Horror.
I do want to see
we'll
some
it as a live stream later.
Who are we going to have do Oculus Horror though?
So Patrick Klepek, who may or may not be Skyping in, I'm not sure, helped curate what he found to be the scariest Oculus games.
Yeah, he sent me a list because we've been playing some Oculus Horror games at home.
Yeah,
well, so, I haven't. But
yeah, though no, Oculus Horror is too scary for me, but I'm going to do it.
I will not do it.
I'm put on the headphones.
Yeah, Dreadholes.
Scary stuff.
I think Dreadholes is still considered the scariest, right?
Dreadholes, he said, was, oh my god, I pooped my pants.
Never played any of these games.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen any of them.
I would never, ever play these games.
So what's going on in the world of Giant Bomb and Brad Shoemaker?
I think we're increasingly thinking.
Is he bringing some milk as well?
More and more about new video game consoles.
Oh yeah, that's soon, right? I forgot that this was a new video game console year. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, right?
Whoa.
It's right around the corner, right?
Machines coming out. Yeah, dude.
3 weeks,
is the
right?
First
three weeks from today
PS4
is the PS4.
Is the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 weeks from today.
Yeah. So
what's your strategy? Have you pre-ordered both?
No, I didn't pre-order
either one. So Xbox One is a month from today, right?
Yes.
Because it's 4 weeks behind.
Yeah, that's right. No, I didn't pre-order either one. I mean, I'm in the privileged position of having access to them in my workplace.
Which one of the two are you more excited about right now?
I can't answer that question.
Why not?
Well, so we haven't. The thing I'm most interested in about these new machines is not the games that are coming out, but like the infrastructure, the services, the UI, like how all the nuts and bolts are fitted together. You know what I mean? Just seeing the dashboard, seeing how the account level stuff works.
All the mechanics of this thing you're going to be using
for
the next 10 years.
Because, you know, barring like a few platform exclusives from the first parties, like you're basically going to have access to the same games on both machines. So that's kind of the point where you figure out, like, which one of these do I enjoy using more? You know?
Well, so once you get beyond the games, this actually is a case this year where what the two machines are offering is, I mean, Xbox One is offering a more holistic TV, everything integrated type experience. PS4 is, so based on, given the fact that they're offering overall quite different approaches, do you find yourself gravitating more towards one approach than the other?
Not really, but only because I don't care about the entertainment aspect of the Xbox. I mean, I've got my Netflix and video on demand needs kind of sorted out already, so that's not really a factor for me. So it's really just how they handle the video game stuff.
I am going to try plugging my cable TV through it to see how the TV experience.
Yeah, if you have cable TV, you know, you'd be crazy not to at least try it.
I'm going
to
give it a try.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, it's more down to like which controller do I like better, which one handles friends lists and invites better, and stuff like that. You know, just real basic stuff.
I've always been an Xbox person, but this year I feel myself slightly more pulled towards PlayStation.
Yeah, I was going down the feature list of the PS4 that they put out a thing today, like they're going to have a big day one firmware update.
Right.
That a lot of the functionality is not going to be there on day one, like the suspend feature, the go to sleep stuff.
Yeah.
Not there.
That's one of the big features.
It was like one of the big things that they announced the first time that they talked about the console. So
yeah.
Some of that stuff's not going to be there, but everything that is going to be there, that sounds like they know what they're doing this time. You know, like you can allow multiple people to sign into the same console and all get their own trophies, and like the invite stuff seems like it's a lot better. So
not that it matters, because you know, people always like to obsess about the strength of the launch lineups, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Like, do we even remember what the launch lineups were? Like, over time, it doesn't matter.
Like, only in the context of like, look how simple and kind of crappy those games were, you know.
And it's certainly not a factor in which console ends up being more successful.
No,
but having said that, I wish I were more excited about the games that are available at launch.
Yeah, PS4 has really suffered, you know, as the games have been delayed.
So Watch Dogs was a big loss to both systems, right? Because that was multi-platform.
Yeah, but you know, since there are fewer platform exclusives on the PS4, you know, that one was carrying more of the load on that side.
Yeah, I mean, like you're looking at Dead Rising kind of filling the gap for AAA. Yeah. Big open world game.
Like, I'm not necessarily super excited about any of the Xbox exclusives. Like, I hope Dead Rising is good because I like those games, but they at least have more games. You know, they've got Killer Instinct, Forza, Dead Rising, like Rise, I guess, if you're into that.
And what's your take on Resolution Gate?
I don't care.
Big story of this past seven days.
I have it in me to care.
Do you think it's a storm in a teacup?
It's not going to make any kind of market difference. You know, like the mainstream that's out there buying games in bulk. Like, could not care less about that stuff.
It's like calculating teraflops and nonsense like that. None of that stuff matters.
Do you think at the end of the day, 2 years from now, when Digital Foundry is doing its, you know, pixel comparisons on multi-platform titles, that it's going to be the same thing as this year? It's like, there's really almost nothing in it?
It's hard to say. I don't know. I mean,
Because everything that I've been reading, and there's a lot of nonsense out there, but it does sound like there is a case built in the PlayStation 4 is somewhat more powerful.
It is. I mean, the GPU, like, you know, by the numbers, the GPU in that thing is more capable. But then, you know, there are people out there, and, you know, I'm not a developer, but there's a lot of scuttlebutt out there saying, like, oh, developers haven't really mastered the ESRAM, that cache in the Xbox One yet, and that'll close the gap to some extent. Like, who knows? You know, it's too early to say on that stuff, but I did.
But this is all we have to do, right?
I guess
until until the systems come out, and then we have to fill the void with all this.
And then
a week
after they come out, it's going to be right back to the same thing because there are so few games.
I'm excited. I got both of them on day one order, and I will.
Are you going to cancel one at the very end?
What, you mean one of the two systems?
One of the two systems.
No, I'm going to get both.
You're going to get both, though.
Yeah, because, you know, I like to get them eventually.
I like to be able
to speak from a position of knowledge on these things. And you're right, the first 2 days I'm probably going to do what you do, just navigate the dashboard.
Right, like download every demo
I don't even know what day one Xbox One game I would buy. Yeah. I think I've got Killzone coming with the PlayStation because it was a bundle. And that looks good, I guess.
It's okay. I played about 30 minutes of it last week. Me and Jeff went down to Sony and checked out some of the launch lineups. So.
Yeah.
I put some time on Killzone. Like, it's a fine Killzone game from what I've seen.
You know, at least the PlayStation also has the PlayStation Plus games that you're going to get.
Yeah,
that's
a huge deal in terms of like value add.
So it's that kind of side scrolling shmup thing.
Resogun, which is actually Defender.
Oh, it's Defender.
Yeah.
Okay.
They made a particle effects heavy Defender.
It's from the same people that made
Super Stardust.
Okay. Yeah. So as that is to Asteroids, this is to Defender.
Absolutely.
Okay. That makes sense.
So there's that, and Contrast is the game that replaced Drive Club.
I played that at E3. It looked good. That was the game I used to play to test the PS4 controller, and it was really good. So it's a 3D. It's kind of like a modern, you know, post Mario 64 3D world that your power is to become a shadow. Mm. So you can, and then you can traverse the shadows to climb up out of the 3D world into other places to gain access to places in the 3D world that you can't. So you pop into the shadows, you literally use the shadows as platforming elements, and then can pop back out into the 3D world when you get to where you're going. It was a cool kind of puzzle platformer thing. I'd never seen anything like that before.
Speaking of the controller, did you guys see it's on sale?
Already?
The DS4 controller.
GameStop started selling DualShock 4s
yesterday. A couple of people already pre-ordered and got them.
Will it work?
We have some in the office. So the functionality is nowhere near robust enough to be, like, if you're not already getting a PS4 and you don't want a second controller, don't go out and get one of these.
Like, you're better off getting an Xbox 360 or PS3 controller.
It works on the PC to some extent. Like, Windows will recognize the inputs, but it doesn't map to games.
What's the deal with the little light in the front? What does that do?
I think it changes colors based on which player you are, and I think the camera will pick it up.
Okay.
So the camera
except the camera is no longer included with the system. So
and it's not the it's a new camera, right? It's not
it
the
is.
PS2.
There is,
PS2
a, there is a PlayStation 4i.
Yeah.
So it's I think that's one of those things that they can use to tell which player is which.
I think that's the case.
Have they completely abandoned Move at this point, or is that going to go forward into the PS4 generation?
They showed off that Media Molecule tech demo with it at the unveil of the system.
Is that the puppet thing?
Yeah, I think it was the sculpting thing, right?
Oh, right. The puppet thing is coming out for PS3, right? Puppeteer?
Came out a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, it'll be compatible. You know, it'll be there, but I don't know what they're going
to
do with it.
I got to say, I'm excited about these consoles, but not to get all PC master race on everyone. As someone who has had I've got my PC, which is a pretty beefy PC, running downstairs on my TV. I have Steam Big Picture Mode. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be so exciting when these new consoles come out to play games in 1080p at 60 frames a second. Yeah, I've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah. But also, I mean, like, we saw Knack and Killzone and stuff at Sony last week. Like, those games are not running anywhere near 60 frames a second.
Right.
So,
like, and some of them aren't running in 1080p.
Yeah, right. So,
how is that even possible?
You got me, man.
What? Like,
I don't know. I mean, they're new machines. You know, developers have been, like, developing against a moving target. Like, most people making games for these consoles probably only got final hardware in their office like a month or two ago, right?
Well, that's probably true. I know that even as like recently as Comic-Con, all of the demos that were Xbox One demos were running on dev kits except for maybe one or two.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, that stuff will always get better over time.
What's the advertising like for 360?
I haven't seen
it for one.
There's a TV spot that was just shown today that actually is really cool.
Because I've seen a ton of PS4 ads.
I think Sony. A lot of people said that what's happening this generation is the reverse of what happened last generation. If you think about coming out of PlayStation 2 and the first Xbox, Sony was somewhat complacent after the massive success of PS2. PS3 wasn't the best product at launch. Microsoft were really hungry. 360 was a great product. And now what we're seeing is maybe the reverse of that.
Absolutely.
Because the success of 360 and it took PS3 a long time to catch up.
Microsoft's now, the one with the hubris now.
Microsoft's complacent, and Sony's the hungry one, and that's why we're seeing a lot more effort maybe on the PlayStation side and a lot more excitement.
Sure, and then there's also been kind of a regime change in both instances. You know, the team at Microsoft is not the team that launched the 360 for the most part.
Right.
And also, you know, the like Sony US has taken a lot more of a role in the launch of this console, you know. And
I think Microsoft is still trying to shake off some of the bad PR they had in the early days with the, you know, non-shareable games. I mean, obviously they 180'd all of that, but it's, I feel like that stink is still on a little bit.
Yeah, I think it...
I can't believe that when Microsoft literally, when the 360 was a success because the Sony was complacent with the PS3, that they're doing the same thing 3 years later, 6 years later, 7 years later.
PS2?
No, Sony was complacent with the PS3 because of the PS2. Yes. It shocks me that they took advantage of that last generation, built a good platform, leaned into stuff that people wanted like online, and then completely fucked up this launch.
Right.
From the very first announcement all the way through, you know, until they were coming back and saying, "Hey, we're doing this stuff," and then we're pulling back from it.
Right. Well,
you know, it's crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but strange things are afoot at Microsoft, kind of top to bottom right now, right?
It is a transitional period.
They're in a very transitional era for them.
Yeah, I mean, but this is a piece of hardware that was in the works for 6-7 years, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not like that. Maybe nobody there knew that people would flip out as much as they did. Or maybe the people that were making the decisions had to touch the fire. Sometimes that happens. You know, the people who know how the community is going to react say, "Look, guys, this isn't going to go over well." And then the people who are the new decision makers over this group say, "Let's give it a try." Yeah. Usually they'll suck down anything if we feed it to them. And then they touch the fire and they got burned over and over and over again. So I don't know.
There's been a lot of red meat in the past few weeks for people that like to indulge in, you know, tech tribalism and system wars, and, you know, people go into their various camps. But I do think at the end of the day, when the dust settles, like 3 or 4 years from now, when both of these new generation systems are mature, it's going to be the same as it ever was. Two very powerful systems, not much between them. You know, when people ask which one should I get, it's going to be a case of, well, let's talk about your specific, what do you want to do? Because there's not much in it. What kind of games do you like? Blah, blah, blah.
That's what it always comes down to. Which games do you want? What is the system all your friends are playing on? Which one has, like, kind of the base level system features that you like better? Like, it's not – nobody ever went out and made a purchasing decision for a console based on what looked better. You know?
I think
like, what had a slightly faster GPU.
I think the price is the biggest thing against Microsoft.
Yeah, price is a huge
factor. It's going to be the same as last generation in reverse, where Sony hamstrung themselves with a crazy price. And it wasn't – and so they struggled for that first year or two. And it wasn't until they found a way to get the price down – that PS3 caught up. I think you're going to see the reverse of that this generation. PlayStation 4 takes an early lead in sales, and Microsoft eventually will find a way. They're not going to decouple the Kinect. I don't think they can do that. I think they'll find a way to sell that. Oh, you really think otherwise?
Well, I don't know. They already lifted the restriction that you have to have that it has to be connected to work.
Yeah. Yes, so but I think they had to do that to stop people feeling like the NSA is like staring at them in their underpants.
Yeah. But not,
you know,
so developers feel
worry
like
about.
That people might be have. That like at least now games it, or for consoles without
yeah it's right. easier to build a Kinect game if all people have to do is go to the closet and fish out the Kinect and hook it up rather than go buy
true.
One the thing that's interesting to me, I mean, the thing that's important to keep in mind, especially as we get closer and people get really cranked up and you see the nonsense about PlayStation being better, Xbox, it doesn't matter. The thing that's important at the end of the day for people who play games on consoles is that if there are two strong platforms, we have a large multi-platform roster of games.
Yeah.
That's better for everyone.
Absolutely. That is the number one reason that I find the tribalism that you talk about so tiresome, because wanting the other guy, first of all, who cares about the other guy? Like, why are you aligning yourself with one side? But also wanting the other side to lose is bad.
People like to feel like they belong to a team. That's how sports works.
Yeah, sure.
And they also feel the need to validate their decision. They pick one.
Yeah, that's the big
one. The majority
one.
Of people don't have the luxury that some of us do to buy both systems.
Sure,
and they feel the need to feel good about the one that they went with.
But if the other side, quote unquote, is doing better in some way, that's just going to inspire your team to push that much harder. And
again,
kind
of
deliver
of
better
day,
stuff for you. You know, it's
the
like the more healthy platforms there are out there, the better it is.
Honestly, if I didn't have the luxury of buying both and I had to pick one, I would probably just flip a coin and in the security knowing that I'm going to be happy with whichever one it is. The only thing you're really going to miss out on is, like you said, the handful of exclusive games you might be
and where your friends
in.
Are.
Yeah, that's the yeah, absolutely.
Well, for 360, I slightly prefer the controller on 360. For me, it's always been when a multi-platform game comes out. It's usually they perform the same on both systems, so it comes down to controller. I personally prefer the 360 controller to the DualShock. I don't think that's going to change much this year because they haven't The controllers haven't been
DualShock's
radically changed.
The DualShock's really good.
Yeah, the new DualShock is much better.
But I still like this thumbstick placement as opposed to this.
I'm surprised how many people really get hung up on that. I don't have a preference. I can go back and forth without any issues.
Yeah, it's just
my preference. Yeah. And also what your friends are. Most of my friends are on 360, but I feel like, again, if more people start adopting the PS4 this generation...
I think, those friends lists are going to become very fractured.
I think it will be easier to... I think basically I'm going to have the same... wind up probably with much the same friends list on both.
Prior to the Watch Dogs delay, I was talking to people about what game they were playing, what platform they're playing that on. And, I mean, amongst the people who I usually play multiplayer games with, it seems like everybody was going PS4.
Yeah, so. Absolutely the experience I had, to the point that, like you saw, whoa.
Whoa, here candy come the Kit Kats. Those sound crunchy. Crunchy food on mic. That's the rule.
I will step away. These are my favorite. These things are like goddamn crack. These are special Halloween edition Kit Kats.
Goddamn crack stronger than regular cat crack?
That they make for Halloween only. They are orange and they are white chocolate.
Wow. Interesting.
So they're my favorite.
Even worse for you.
Yeah, they're not good for you at all. But it's Halloween.
They are really orange.
Yeah, they're really bright orange. Oh, man. Everyone's going to
We're going to eat these on camera. People are going to love us.
I'm going to step away from the mic.
Construction orange.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gary, you ate your... You did it again. Gary ate his Kit Kats without crunching.
Yeah, that's what I was about to do.
I go across the
marsh. Break across. Gary just broke right across the... It's bananas.
I'm all about breaking boundaries and not respecting...
Well, there's only two of them.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why are there only two?
Like crumbs.
Yeah, it's easier.
Snack size.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for kids.
Biting...
That's delicious.
I told you, they're the best.
I'm sure the guys in chat love that.
I gave one of these to my neighbor the other day as a sample. She went out and bought a whole bag.
What a friend you are.
Are you an aficionado of Kit Kat?
I personally am a very big fan of Kit Kat.
Are you aware of the diverse product offering in Japan?
Oh, yeah. The green tea Kit Kats are among my favorites.
Oh, my God, yeah. Best
candy
on the planet.
There's green tea and there's green tea Sakura.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Well, there are so many.
Even within the green tea.
I went on the web. I made the mistake of going on the website one time and looking at all the different types of Kit Kats that are available around the world. Oh, yeah. There are so many interesting flavors. Joey needs a Kit Kat.
Nice catch.
Wow, nice catch, Joey. Catch. Wow, that was like some hard grabbing. He just reached out and
that was like a Captain America shield
from the sky.
Shield kick.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
We haven't had you on the podcast in a while, bro.
No. It's been ages.
It's been not through lack of trying, just to be clear.
Yeah. It's hard to get out of the office.
Busy guy, and it's a tough times. What else is going on besides the new console stuff? Are you guys into iOS games? Or I know you're.
I haven't been playing a lot of iOS games. I've been downloading a lot of iOS games and then never launching them.
Where are you in your phone life right now?
I'm on an iPhone 5.
Okay.
So you bought more or less after launch.
Still got a year left in contract on that. I did go to the Apple Store and see how much I could get for trade-in on a 5S.
That's always a bad deal.
Not much.
Yeah.
It was still. I have a 64 gig and I can't go back now. So to get a 64 gig 5S,
it's $1,000.
Yeah, even trading this phone in was going to be $700 out of pocket.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I'm skipping this.
That's
both
consoles.
Almost.
Yeah.
Do you play a lot of?
But you bought a Wii U.
I did.
Why did you buy a Wii U?
Can we talk about Wii U?
I'm genuinely curious.
Because I mean, that's like call me crazy, but my litmus test for should I buy a new console is there a game I want to play on?
Well, first off, you skipped the Wii.
Yeah, right? I never owned a Wii.
So you that means you missed out on Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2.
Oh my god, the best game.
Those are that Kirby game.
You're right,
but you will get HD remakes of those.
You think?
I hope so.
Yeah, because they're not doing Galaxy 3.
I actually bought they're doing Mario 3D World,
which is, I mean, they're not doing Galaxy.
My prediction is you'll see a Galaxy 1 and 2, same way they did Wind Waker. You'll see a Galaxy 1 and 2 HD remake on Wii U.
Maybe.
I hope so, because I would play those games.
Oh, I would play those
Super
games.
Super Mario Galaxy is seriously, it's got to be my top three games of all time.
I mean, their visual design is so strong that it like I've been playing Wind Waker in 1080p and it looks practically like it was made for that console.
Yeah,
you know? Like it holds up so well in a higher resolution.
I mean, I always thought it was kind of a shame that Nintendo's art style, it's always been a shame that it's had to be rendered in low res, because it's so perfectly
absolutely
designed for HD that we're now finally seeing that. It's so pleasing to see it.
Yeah.
I guess I've been very vocally against the Wii U. I still think it's going to fail.
It
obviously had a terrible first year, but I bought it day one. I've been a big I think the world and the gaming industry is more interesting with Nintendo in it because they genuinely do different things. You know, they're all, for better or worse, they're not trying to copy what everyone else is doing. They do their own thing. They're totally original. And I do think that the Wii U picture is going to turn around a little bit because I think Mario 3D Land looks fantastic.
It does. Yeah.
A 6-minute trailer. Amazing. Yeah. Just,
For 3D Land?
For 3D Land.
I haven't actually. I'm going into cold.
I will be buying 3D Land. I will be buying 3D Land.
Now, do you think Apple should make software for other platforms?
You mean Nintendo?
Nintendo?
I think Apple should absolutely make software for other platforms. iTunes, Safari, both great pieces of Windows software.
It's giving a glass ice water people in hell.
iTunes for Wii U. Let's see it. I mean, I don't see any reason that they need to until like their hardware starts suffering. You know, I mean, like the Wii U is still in some fairly dire straits, but they are killing it on the handheld front. So, they've got that going for them from now until
it's weird, isn't it? Nintendo handheld and desktop, what you would call them, regular consoles, full size consoles. It's almost like two different companies.
Kinda, yeah. Well, the 3DS took what? At least a year, 18 months to find its
footing. To be fair, there was a lot of negativity about the 3DS out of the gate. What did it take to turn that around? It was a price cut and some games.
The price dropped, and they did that ambassador program where they gave you all the free stuff.
Yep.
But then
also some good games.
I'm trying to think what the first, like, because I mean, at launch, the 3DS was pretty slim pickings. You know, you had
what
like,
was the first like, game on the 3DS? That was like, well, you got to get one.
That's what I'm trying to think of. The first one,
Mario Kart.
I remember. I think the first. I'm sure that game sold, drove plenty of 3DS sales. I mean, the first game I remember coming out was Ocarina of Time 3D. That was the first game that I personally cared about. They put out that Star Fox remake that was
pretty
good.
I was not excited about it. I mean, it's hard for me to get excited about remakes.
A lot of people inherently are just not going to get very,
10-year-old game.
Very fired up about it.
Stream's dead.
Stream's down.
Oh, man. Should we keep going?
No, we should pause for a moment. Hey, Joey.
I need to get a beverage.
Oh, yeah. Can you get me one?
What do you need?
Is this
Diet Coke?
Hey, Dave.
Or
Diet Dr.
Dead? Pepper, either way.
Oh.
Who's back?
Oh, it's back?
Somebody hit the button.
Somebody hit the button? What, the...
I don't know, the stream died,
button?
But it should be back.
Sabotage.
We should be back. Sorry about that, guys. 24 hours, this is only... Dave's here to fix stuff. Dave will be here in about 20 minutes. That's Dave Snyder.
Oh, you
enemy
have a,
kite from the Twitters.
You have a 5S.
I have a 5S.
When did that happen?
We had to get one for the site. Somebody had to take the bullet.
Yeah, I guess so.
So we were talking about the Wii U.
Yes.
And I don't know how far back we went. The 3DS had a real rough first year, too.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's too. I think it's too early to say the Wii U is doomed.
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I don't.
It had a terrible first year.
Yeah.
Right. But the price cut seems to have helped it.
Yeah. I mean, that was the other driving factor for me. I wanted to play Wind Waker, and the price went down, so I said, sure, why not? And,
now it's entering this hurricane of true next gen systems.
Yeah. Except for there's what is in the next gen launch? Like, if you're looking at buying a machine this year to actually play games with instead of look at menus,
here's the thing: as much as you want to joke about the Wii U probably has. If I wanted to play games, the system to get out,
absolutely,
you got to get Wii U, and I'd get Super Mario 3D
Land. More games.
I wouldn't get. I mean, I can't even think of a game on the other system that's going to be worth
getting
on day one.
That's absolutely the case.
Thank you.
But also, like, I have a hard time fathoming people getting so hung up on that system being less powerful than the others, unless you're looking at that as a game to play third-party games on, which you shouldn't be.
Right.
I mean, it's a Nintendo game machine.
Well, and just in general, when you buy a console, at this point, the hardware is the same. The controllers are both okay all across the board. Buy it based on what the first-party exclusives are.
Right.
And Nintendo has the first party exclusives.
I mean, that may be the story of the Wii U, like it has been for the last like three Nintendo consoles before that.
Well,
you own it purely for the Nintendo first party games and nothing else.
I think
makes it worth
people
owning.
That know the Nintendo story at this point know every generation when you buy into that system, you're buying it for 8 to 10 great Nintendo games, and maybe a two or three really great,
some weird shit from Ubi.
Like the weird Mad World type, you know, third party titles that come out of nowhere. But that's basically what.
But they used
getting.
To make money on hardware, and now they're not making money on hardware.
Is that the case? I guess that's still the case, right?
They're still making money on hardware.
No.
So if they're not making money on hardware, and let's say in a theoretical world where they release the next Mario on Xbox and PlayStation, maybe even there's a bigger market there. Wouldn't the numbers work out where they would just make more money that way?
I guess so.
Massive user base.
I guess so.
Here's the thing. They're never going to do that until they're in Sega's dire straits.
I'm not saying whether they're going to do it. I'm saying in the numbers, in terms of how much money, if the attach rate, if everyone who has an Xbox wanted to play Mario,
I bet somebody
had the opportunity.
Somebody
to play
at
Mario.
Nintendo would argue that diluting their brand in that way would be far more harmful than any lost revenue.
Yeah. Man, it's weird.
But in terms of sheer numbers,
Yeah.
It is weird to think about. You're right. But, you know, for games, if you just care about purely playing the best games, we use the system to get this holiday.
Yeah, yeah. When, between Wind Waker and Mario World.
That's what I said last night, and you belittled me.
3D World.
But it's just starting to settle in.
Yeah, yeah, it's. I mean, Super Mario 3D Land looks great. Yeah. Or 3D World. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's 3D World.
3D Land.
Yeah. 3D Land was a 3DS game.
Okay, so this
world.
Is. But this is like the 3DS game,
world?
But on the Wii U, right?
Yeah. Okay.
It's like Super Mario World
and
4 3D.
Oh.
And it's not. Yeah. It's not. It's not Galaxy, so it's not about like the
yeah,
gravity stuff.
Right. You're not bouncing
which
between
itself
planetoids.
It's a great
anymore.
Design thing, yeah. But it's like playing Super Mario World.
3D Land had like. Single levels in 3D Land had more inventiveness in their design than like entire other platformers that I've seen. Like that game was incredible, and it is the Galaxy team as far
yeah.
as I know. It's
yeah.
the
which
Galaxy
is why team. I don't think they're in another Galaxy.
Right, right. They're focused on this, but if this game is as crazy and creative as that game was, like it's
yeah.
gonna be fantastic.
I mean, just to be clear, I am totally okay with Super Mario. With them mixing up Mario every couple of years. Like, I liked Mario Galaxy. I liked that they took more Mario Galaxy. I don't know that I want another. I mean, Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 were both great. I don't know that I'm good with another one right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Let's do something different every yeah. time, keep it fresh, and then every 10 or 15 years come back to something that was good from before.
Sure.
I'd much rather they do that than do what they've done with New Super Mario Brothers, which is take something that was super fresh and awesome and make five games yep. in 5 years and make me tired of playing
that,
side-scrolling
that,
Mario.
That game or that series has absolutely outstayed its welcome.
I bought both of those for 3DS and Wii U. I've played maybe 10% of each one.
Yep.
I got to a point where I was like, this is still fun.
Like, you think you want to play it.
No,
and then you play it.
Yeah.
There's still no multiplayer.
It is fun when you can get four people around. That is
true.
It's local multiplayer only, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
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 I mean, but with the new Super Mario Brothers for Wii U, every time I sat down to play it, I just realized I would rather be playing Rayman Legends.
Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping if 3D World can in any way capture the magic of Galaxy, I'm going to be very, very happy with it.
I think it'll be up there.
So many outfits.
Have yep. you played it at all yet, or have they shown it to anybody?
I played
really?
It real briefly at E3.
I played a little bit at PAX. And
it comes out right
yeah.
in the launch window, right? It's the same week as all the consoles
it's
are
It's in November,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, November yeah. 22nd.
There's that. There's the new Link to the Past, the new Zelda game on 3DS.
Okay.
Also around that time. Like, they've got a strong holiday lineup.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with SNES games on 3DS? Do they just not do them? Is it not capable somehow?
I don't know.
Or is it...
I don't really keep. I don't keep up with the Virtual Console.
They did,
like I should.
They did SNES games on DS, right?
Did they? No,
no.
They didn't have Virtual Console on DS.
Well, you could buy GBA ports.
I think that's right.
Of SNES games
I
and NES
that's
games.
The case.
That seems right.
I don't know. I don't keep up with the VC stuff like I should.
Yeah, I wanted to go back and play Link to the Past. Getting ready for Link to the Past 2.
Yeah.
I ordered a
not so much.
I ordered a Retron 5.
Yes,
because
I really want to see that thing.
I think that's going to be the way. I think it's been delayed.
So explain really? What the Retron 5 is.
So the Retron has been around for several generations now. It's basically an all-in-one retro console, and you can plug almost anything into it. And the
what
5,
does it look like?
It just looks like a black little box. Okay.
It looks like a console from the 80s or
yeah.
90s.
Okay.
And the each year they add more functionality to it. So the 5, which is the latest one to be announced, you can plug Mega Drive, Genesis, Super NES, NES, GBA, you name it.
Yeah.
If you've got an old
it's
cartridge
like six
sitting
different
around
consoles.
Somewhere, you can plug
yeah.
it in.
So one
with
port?
Your, with
ports,
no, it's got different ports.
With ports for all the original controllers.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can use original controllers. It also comes with its own wireless controllers,
is
which
it,
don't look
it's
great.
It's all emulated?
But no. So my understanding, I haven't confirmed this, but my understanding is that it has the actual, I mean, it's like reverse engineered, but it has actual hardware in there to run the games on. But there is also an Android layer on top of that
mm-hmm.
that gives you save states and like Game Genie
oh,
cheat stuff.
So it's not emulated. It's actual real hardware.
That's what I was told. I don't know if that's 100%
the case
crazy.
Or not. Crazy.
Because when to begin with, when I heard there was Android in there, I figured the whole thing was just an emulator.
Yeah.
And at that point, I didn't care. But if it really is reproducing those games 100%.
We should get one of those in.
Maybe absolutely. Not all the consoles. Maybe some of it's real hardware
it's
and some of it's emulated.
It's possible. And also it outputs HDMI. So like that
that's
just
great.
If nothing else, having that as a way to play those old games like,
yes.
natively yeah. on a new HDTV with that
sounds
output.
A lot better
although,
than nothing you
and,
bought,
and it's
Gary.
Only $100.
Although, one of the things that I've learned, and you guys have covered this in the past, if you want the true native experience, you need to bust out an old CRT. There's no two ways around that.
Well, the thing I mean, capturing old SNES games, Vinny had to buy a crazy expensive
yeah.
piece of hardware
scan
to capture
converter,
SNES
yeah.
and NES machines.
Yep.
So, yeah, and that and like you said, CRTs look
but the,
nice.
But the great
that.
Thing about this, if you want to go down that retro rabbit hole, these games cost nothing. You can go on eBay and get a box of like Super NES games for
yeah.
like $10.
Like a lot of
not all of them hold up, as you know.
Apart from a handful of, you know, rare expensive ones, you can basically build a really amazing retro game library for almost nothing.
Last week, people in my house were playing Donkey Kong Country, the old one, 3.
The one for SNES?
For SNES, and also Return of the Jedi, which in my mind...
Super Return of the Jedi.
Oh, that was such a good
game. See, both those games in my head were great when actually played.
Well, they're both so insanely hard. As I remember.
Super Star Wars games
are punishingly...
Yeah.
The problem is there are only a handful of games that you can go back and really still legitimately enjoy. Once the 5 minutes of nostalgia is, oh, I remember this, like, you kind of don't want to play it anymore.
There's still some stuff for SNES. I remember you guys brought, what's Battle Tetris? Tetris Battle Arena?
Tetris Battle Gaiden is the name of it.
That is my new favorite Tetris.
It is the best Tetris game ever. I mean, it's unbalanced as hell.
Doesn't matter.
But Ninja Kid for life.
Yeah.
But there's no T-spin. So good. It's so good.
No T-spin.
Yeah, that was pre-T-spin. Yep.
Great.
Yeah. But also it turns Tetris into a fighting game.
Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
So you pick different characters and they have special abilities. Each character has like 4 spells and you basically, they're like some parts of the blocks that drop are little magic orbs, and when you pick those up, it adds to your mana essentially. And then you use those spells on your opponent. You're both playing at the same time.
I kind of feel like Tetris was already the perfect recipe, and you don't need to keep throwing additional ingredients into it.
This is really good.
What's so amazing about this game is how devilish it is. It's just insidious, the things that you can do to your opponent. Like one character has a spell that inverts the other side's board,
yep,
where any empty space turns into a block, and any block turns into an empty space. It's stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You can just really screw people over. It's a great shit-talking experience.
One of my greatest gaming memories to this day is still 1988, the original Game Boy, sitting with a friend of mine with the serial link cable, both playing Tetris, and you know, sending lines to the bottom of the other person's screen.
It was magic, the serial cable.
It was so great.
Yep.
I remember when we'd go on field trips, when you'd take the original Game Boy, you'd also bring a Ziploc bag full of AA batteries.
Yes.
Because if it was like you probably didn't have this in England, but if you had like a 10-hour car bus ride, you could go through $20 worth of batteries, no problem.
Yeah.
What about
Why wouldn't you have that in England?
The Game Gear.
Because it's a smaller country.
Because we can't go anywhere.
You can't go as far.
All right. Nobody had a Game Gear.
As we'll soon find out.
How's that?
With Euro Truck Simulator.
Euro Truck Sim.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Norm's going to do some Euro driving.
Run out of places to go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, those are the days you just bust out your AA batteries.
So have you finished Wind Waker yet?
No, I'm still chipping away at it.
Can we talk about Wind Waker spoilers? Because it has one of my favorite moments in gaming, that game.
Sure.
At the end of the first 3 quests, so you start the game before you have to go get the Triforce.
Yeah.
There's
3, like the 3 pearls that you have to collect.
3 pearls.
Yeah, I just got the 3 and I'm in like the Tower of the Gods now.
You've gone into the cave and...
I'm on my way to the end of that tower now.
Have you turned them in yet?
I think I must be right before the part you're talking about.
So when you turn them in, you go into this temple is all black and white. It's all unsaturated. It's black and white. And you walk in, you're like, man, this place is kind of sad. It feels really old and gloomy.
Yeah, there's like a melancholy about it.
It has and the music's great. It has a real moment. And then you turn them in, and this amazing thing happens. And I think it's probably the best part of the whole game. I mean, just to be clear, it is a really good game.
It is.
But it is a moment that has stuck with me that has really been kind of unparalleled for me in games. So yeah, that game
does an amazing job of creating a sense of history, place.
Yeah,
you know? Because you know all Zelda games prior to that had pretty much taken place in a vacuum. You know, they're just kind of telling the same story over and over again.
Dude, when Zelda 1 happens in the top left of Zelda 2's world,
sure.
And then there's the ocean comes in on top of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, okay.
But this game establishing a clear lineage from Ocarina of Time to this one, you know, mm-hmm. like making it clear that that game was a precursor to this one was kind of a revelatory moment.
And you know what, Gary, this is another testament to your point that Snap reactions are bad, because when they first rolled out the graphics for Wind Waker,
oh, people had
the internet
shit
exploded.
Oh my god.
I thought it looked good.
That was I did too. I thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen.
Really new.
It's too cutesy.
That was like the original internet like kind of tantrum over
cell shading.
Yeah, Zelda.
Fuck you, cell shading. No, cell shading's great, man. That turned out awesome.
Especially now you're seeing it in HD, where its true potential is real. I think I'd be happy if they just made Zelda games in that style forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although I'm not really, I'm the last person to talk about Zelda. I've never really played a Zelda game properly.
Do you have a 3DS?
I know I do.
Get Legend of Zelda,
I have the Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time remake 3DS.
Yeah.
With the game, and I've just never had time to play
it. That's good.
So I played Pokemon on it.
I went back and played the first one.
Really?
Getting ready for it, because I wanted to play Link to the Past, then it wasn't available. So I figured, you know what, I haven't played this since 1987, 88. It is a game, it is almost like a roguelike in its difficulty because the combat's really, really precise. You have to be really fast. It has aged incredibly well, that first game, I think. And it's completely nonlinear. I'd totally forgotten that. So so that's what I've been doing with games. Has anybody played Stanley Parable? I don't think we have time to get into Stanley Parable because we're running a little short on
I think probably everyone
you, Brad.
Has played. We should talk about Stanley Parable.
We'll talk about when the thumbs get here. Because I think those are the perfect guys to talk to about that game.
Absolutely.
Well, Mr.
But you played it though, right?
I did, absolutely. Okay. It's fantastic.
Everybody should play it.
Yes.
Everyone should play it.
You have a couple hours.
Short game.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot there.
Well, it is and it isn't.
I've probably spent 2 hours just kind of noodling.
That game can take as much time as you want to play it.
Do you
want to
check in with our charitable donations and see where we're at? So I am, let's see, we are at, I'll do that one last. Because it's the big one right now.
To let people know what we're doing, if you're just tuning in, this is Oktobercast, a 24-hour endurance podcast. We're going to have a full day's – we're in our second hour. Just
hour two.
Hour two. About to finish hour two.
1/12 almost of the way done.
That makes it sound so much better. We were 1/48 an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
And that sounded
terrible. Hey, guys. Nice job.
We'll get to high five.
Thank you.
Wow, on the third time you got it. Good job.
Well, he fucking pulled his hand back.
You're in my blind spot.
The three high fives that Norm and I have had, we've nailed it first time every time.
Well, you're truly an American hero, Englishman Gary Whitta.
We're podcasting for charity, three charities, and we'll tell you the URLs in just a moment. They are Child's Play, Doctors Without Borders, and the Electronic Frontier Foundation. The URLs for each of those respectively is test.com/kids. /doctors and /electrons. So you're going to support kids, doctors, or electrons.
Or a little bit of each. You can do one of each. Yeah, it's
totally cool.
Put them all in your cart.
You couldn't have kids without electrons.
Nope. And you couldn't have kids without doctors. Well, you could, but it'd be harder.
Yeah.
There'd be fewer kids.
You couldn't have doctors without kids.
You couldn't have doctors without kids.
No.
It's like the Rochambeau of.
Yeah. And you can't have electrons without any of those things.
No, all of those things require electrons. So, okay, so where we're at, Child's Play. Child's Play, I feel like we need to push a little of Child's Play's way because we're only at $397.90 for Child's Play, which is still great. Not knocking Child's Play.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's crank it up a little bit, show Child's Play some love.
Which charity has the most right now?
You get to that.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation is at $543. Also, perfectly respectable. They could use a little more love, too.
Okay.
And then Doctors Without Borders, showing the big money on Doctors Without Borders at $2,404.17. I assume these uneven numbers are because of the 2.5% that goes to the Visa, MasterCard, and Discover, you know, to for their credit card processing fees. The rest of it goes directly to charity. CrowdTill is waiving their fees. They normally charge another 2.5% on their funds, on their fundraising events. If you want to know how to do this, it's tested.com/kids for Child's Play, tested.com/doctors for Doctors Without Borders, tested.com/electrons for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We'll talk about more of them in a little bit. But while we have Brad Shoemaker here for a few more minutes, what's going on? You got anything you want to plug?
Oh, man.
Because they're going over Unprofessional Fridays momentarily. Yeah, don't watch that garbage, though.
About to go get unprofesh.
Well,
I have no idea what game I'm going to bring.
Have you played Batman yet?
What's that?
Have you played Batman yet?
We got Batman in yesterday.
What?
And it came out today.
My friend Dan Stapleton reviewed it already.
What's that?
IGN's Dan Stapleton?
Yes. IGN was one of the very few select outlets that got a copy.
What about GameSpot?
Early enough. Yeah, they got one.
Okay, so you guys at least had it in the building.
Yes.
Guys, I'm out of coffee.
So we finally get to learn Batman's origin story.
That's right.
Wow.
It's such a closely kept secret.
Yeah.
That now I personally think that he was bitten by a radioactive
bat. But even like
I thought his mom was a bat and his dad was a human.
Yeah.
Boom chicka wow wow.
There was a bat planet that was destroyed by its own sun. And they sent the last son
In the shadow of the planet.
Yeah.
Only
to Earth.
But
where he was found by kindly people.
But in the yellow light.
Raised him as a human.
Billionaires.
But deep down he knew he was really a bat.
But in the yellow light of Earth's sun, his wings fell off.
Yes.
So he looks
like
a...
But he still has bat powers.
That's true.
Only at night.
But I thought he went into a time chamber and was irradiated by bats.
Oh, you know what I did? I somehow went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole on The Flash.
Yeah.
It occurred to me that I'd never learned I didn't know what the Flash is.
Which Flash?
His powers. Well, that
so
was
many
the thing. They're all terrible.
Is anybody a fan of the Flash?
I like the Flash.
All of the Flash's how he gets his power stories. Oh shit!
Okay. Wally West had chemicals thrown on him.
Yes, just like
Barry Allen. Also
lame.
Lightning struck chemicals.
Yep.
And the chemicals slashed on him.
Slightly.
These
less
are
lame.
Silver Age explanations,
and then
right?
Now he's in tune with the Speed Force.
Yeah, they were
the
bad.
What?
And then the Speed Force is pretty lame. Of the other Flash.
Somebody had said it was something about getting shot with a bullet that vibrated at the speed of light or something, which is why he had superpowers. But I went and looked it up, and they just various different versions of the Flash just get splashed with chemicals.
You know what? No matter how bad,
like, they have to try harder.
Lightning hit the chemicals.
No, no matter how bad the Flash is,
you've truly run out of ideas.
Still
you're
better
sitting
than
around,
Aquaman.
You know, in the superhero origin story room, he gets hit by chemicals. We've done that. Well, what if the chemicals get struck by lightning? Okay, that's good enough. Print it.
That's why he has a lightning bolt on his chest.
Right.
Lightning Batman.
I think the Flash is a tough one to do.
It's better than Aquaman. It's still better, no matter what it is.
Yep.
And
Aquaman
gets a bad rap.
But
they've never been able to make people running super fast look good.
You can make everybody else slow.
In comics, everyone's frozen.
I still think there's a way to do it. But like, if you look at the old Flash TV series, which is just that blur, it never looks good.
Well, now we have technology. You know, they can shoot the background at one speed and shoot the Flash at a different speed. It's time for a Flash movie.
I think there is a way to do it now.
Are you announcing something, Gary?
No, I'm just saying that some bright filmmaker could figure out.
Your spec skip script for the Flash.
Who would be your ideal director for a Flash movie?
I don't know enough about the Flash to really...
Because David Goyer was attached for the longest time.
There's a Flash movie in the works?
For the longest time.
I think they're always trying to do the Flash.
Yeah.
You think, like, if I were picking DC superheroes, I would go with the Flash before I would bust out a Green Lantern movie.
I agree that the Flash is easier to understand. He just goes really fast.
Yeah.
I remember a few Comic-Cons ago when they announced a Green Lantern movie. I'd never read the Green Lantern, and it was one of those like blind spots for me. So I said to Norm, who I knew was into the Green Lantern, I said, explain to me the Green Lantern.
Oh.
And 20 minutes later, when Norm was done, I had just completely glazed over. I had no idea what he had just said. I was like, wait, hold on.
They're guardians of the universe.
So
the
it's a galactic police run by these super-powered Smurfs.
Yep.
And
wait,
you know those blue dudes, blue dudes.
Oh,
they
sure,
run the galaxy, and you get this ring, and you can basically this green flubber, which is the power of your mind, can make anything. You can make giant fists.
Yeah,
you know you can make a tractor
as long as your mind can visualize it.
Green mind flubber. You can do whatever you want with it, but yellow. If you see yellow, that is bad.
And the original
and I was
Green
like,
Lantern.
I thought he was fucking with me. I thought you just. At what point has he
yellow,
got off the script and
yellow
started making
part of,
shit up?
Yellow is part of green, though. You can't have green without yellow.
The people who drew in print, it didn't work that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't even know about this. This is a terrible conversation. This is way too early to have this conversation. We need to save this. Brad Shoemaker?
Yeah.
I know you have places
to go. You're
this is
me.
A work day.
I'm going to
do
you.
Go
are
back.
You here on your lunch break?
Kind of, yeah.
Wow.
Basically.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I can make it tomorrow. I'm going out of town, so.
Yeah, likely story. Just didn't want to bring us any pork buns. Those pork buns, I think, saved my life last year. Yeah,
glad I could help.
So thanks, man.
Were they like, some weren't like pork belly buns, were they?
I don't know. It's just a chowsu.
He got a, it's from that place on.
Barbecue pork buns.
Yeah, that one on Clement.
Yeah.
I don't like barbecue.
There are 17.
There are like four dim sum places per block on Clement.
It's the one that you walk in, there's just a counter, and then the tables in the back are real kind of like not even there, really.
Also all of them.
Okay.
They're all kind of the same.
I guess you're right. Is the counter on the left or the right?
Counter's on the left.
Yeah,
it's
that one.
It might be the one that you're...
Yeah.
Before you go, what do you think your... what are looking like your Game of the Year contenders?
Oh, God, man. That's a weird conversation. Well, I know what mine is.
What is it?
Fez.
I can't say that.
I
came out a year and a half ago.
It came out for PC this year.
I don't know.
I think I know what it is.
Brothers.
You might.
I think it's Brothers.
I heard that there are not 10 games better than Brothers coming
there
out
aren't.
Between then and
there
the
aren't.
End of the year.
There aren't. If anyone who doesn't have Brothers in their top 10 list this year is just doing it wrong.
Yeah, I totally
either
agree
hasn't
with
played
you.
It or has no idea what the fuck is
that,
going on.
That does not mean there are no games better than Brothers.
Rogue Legacy?
Was that this year?
That was this year.
I guess it was.
Yeah,
I guess it was.
So
unless
I guess
it came out as a beta or something.
Do you have to keep your powder dry on this for a giant bomb?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Kind of. Well, I mean, I sort of don't know. But also, I mean, the weird thing is...
Is there anything left that could still come in?
We were kind of banking on Watch Dogs, but that's not...
That's
GTA,
yeah.
Maybe.
Well, that came out.
I mean,
well,
it's
no,
out.
No,
I'm
stuff,
just saying.
So stuff that hasn't...
It was after
but
Brothers,
but all the big... Assassin's Creed's not going to do it.
I don't think Assassin's Creed, like, definitely not Battlefield or Call of Duty. Like, that's kind of it. Maybe Mario 3D World.
Did Dota come out this year?
Last of Us.
Maybe.
I know what your Game of the Year is,
maybe.
Brad Shoemaker.
I mean, but the overall, like, the broader conversation is going to be really weird because you've got the kind of the big three, right? Like, Bioshock, Last of Us, and
people have kind of
GTA.
Turned around
there
on Bioshock.
There was a bit of a pushback on Bioshock.
Yeah.
When Bioshock
totally.
Came out, everyone was like, oh, well, this is it. This is Game of the Year.
Totally.
Because it came out early in the year.
Like,
a lot of good stuff's coming out.
It got
Portal 2'd.
But also,
everyone
people have more time to, like... backlash. Like,
right.
Everybody tides of internet.
Bioshock when it came out, and now there is this kind of back. I still think it's great. It'll be my top 10, but I think there has been a bit of a backlash against it.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
It's a good number 7 out of 10.
But I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but for us, like, I don't think among those three, I don't think any of them is a clear front runner. So I don't really know.
I think The Last of Us is probably a clear. I think The Last of Us will probably be the one that wins the most.
I'm trying to get back to that and then get through the rest of it so I can.
What do you think the other front runners are?
For us, or kind of across
just
the board?
Generally, what do you think the ones that are the most that will get the most awards this year will be?
I think it'll mostly be made up of those three.
I really like GTA.
What are the other two you're saying? Last
GTA,
of Us,
BioShock, GTA. And Last of Us.
I think that's not bad.
Those are the three I think that'll kind of run away with the
and
awards.
Dota, of course. It's a possible.
I don't know how many people are of refined taste.
I didn't think GTA would have been in my games of the year, but it is going.
Oh, is it really?
Oh yeah.
Did you finish it?
I haven't finished it yet, okay. But unless it goes off some kind of weird cliff in the second half, I really
ran out of steam on it. Hopefully I'll finish it.
I had to stop doing side missions.
Yeah. Yes.
But I love Trevor.
I love Trevor. Trevor's one of my favorite characters.
Trevor is the character. He's the guy who plays GTA.
I mean, as the kind of embodiment of, or the personification of the way you play Grand Theft Auto.
It's the first time I've ever played that game and not felt like I was doing something that took me out of the world anything.
When you walk into traffic and pull a mom out of her car and throw her on the ground, like, she was like, all right, he would do that.
That's him. Yeah, he's meth. Sure. Okay, whatever. Sure. I'm scared of meth.
It's such a bad idea to go driving right after playing
GTA.
Don't
do that. It's a bad idea.
Like, you have to give yourself a good 8 hours to come down.
Burnout was much worse. Burnout was worse.
Burnout was bad. Remember, remember when Burnout had traffic checking?
Yes, that was terrible.
The best.
Brad Shoemaker, thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, thank you guys.
The 2 p.m. hour is upon us quicker than anticipated. We're going to blast you off. You go be unprofessional.
Okay.
Don't anybody go watch that. You stay right here. Stay here. You're going to archive it. It'll be up tomorrow. They can watch it after Octobercast.
I guess.
You can only watch this once a year.
That's fair.
Archiving it, though, I guess. I
mean, okay.
Yeah, so
just watch both.
Yeah. See you, dude.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks Brad.
Bye, Brad.
Gentlemen, we are 1/24th. No, 1/12th.
1/12th. So much better than 1/48th.
Of the way through the show.
Yeah, that sounds better. We went from 1/48th to 1/12th.
This is like it's getting easier.
Made significant progress.
Now, next up will be
3/24ths.
Next hour after next hour? 1/8.
No, 3/24ths after the next hour.
So
oh, yeah. Okay, Matt.
Dave Snyder started drinking
Dave
early.
Dave Snyder with a beer. Hey, Dave.
No, I'm not.
Don't, honestly, he can't do it. Don't.
No.
Do not.
It was way too high. There was something like nefarious with that. Why was it so high?
I don't have a butt.
Like, you're not Koontz.
I wanted to get it out of the frame.
You don't ever want to get into a high five situation with Will, because even though clearly he's the one that can't do it, he fucks it up for both of you. You both look bad. There's no way to say, well, he's the one that
Norm
got it
taught
wrong.
Me the secret of the high five.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
It's you watch the elbow. Yeah, always watch the elbow. Eyes on the elbow. Don't look at the hand.
The secret is to have some sort of ball in your hand, I think.
Ball?
Yeah.
Why a ball?
Like a sports, you know.
Oh, like the other hand has a ball.
Yeah.
Well, like, I was like, how do you high five if there's a ball? Yeah. I can't palm a basketball.
You have to be covered in sweat.
Not that big.
That's how it works.
Dave Snyder.
I'm here, yes.
People know you as one of the former Whiskey Media top men.
Yeah.
I figured I should introduce you to all the people who don't know.
Hey, you might remember me from being a former.
Yeah, you might remember me from such things as the Whiskey Media Radio Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Hour.
Heard by hundreds.
To hundreds of people. Hey, people ask all the time, hey, when are you bringing back the Whiskey Media Radio Hour? Mm-hmm. And I say, that's not our show at all.
Yeah.
You're doing it full time now, right?
Yeah.
It's your broadcasting.
That's it. Yeah.
Let's see. One time you played Gran Turismo. While we taste tested things and you poured booze, I think you were drunk driving.
I was taking a shot of tequila.
Game.
Yeah, probably every 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and the
what could possibly go?
Wow,
more things not to do at home.
Wasn't the smartest thing.
And now Dave, you're a father.
Dave also, I'm a role model.
Dave was responsible for my personal favorite highlight moment from the first Octobercast,
which was
when we got talking about dragons.
Oh, that's
oh,
right.
Dragons was great. You were really drunk that night.
Do you remember that? Until now.
Really drunk. No, Karen was really drunk.
Well, Karen...
You were not all
that's
there
implied.
Either.
Well, that's...
You
that's,
were definitely
that's,
somewhat
that's
diminished.
Nothing to do with alcohol. That's
the
just...
The dragons!
Yeah.
And of course... Right. And of
I
course,
don't remember what we talked about, but it was great.
Yeah, no, I just knew...
It is gold.
Dragons and their gold.
Yeah. The dragons and their gold.
It's hard to get Gary into it like a...
Yeah,
yeah,
dead-eyed stare.
Yeah, he was lost.
I was just entranced.
And of course, you're one of the founding members of a bunch of dads.
The
Tested.com podcast devoted to dadhood.
I'm there too.
all the challenges and
brought
and,
mine into the city today.
Really? That's brave.
She's somewhere.
You're afraid of crack dealers and stuff? You watching
all over.
Head on a swivel all around?
No, but my wife and I were talking about how we are now so removed from the city that we can't understand the fashion styles.
Can you still parallel park?
Happening. Yeah. Like, oh.
Okay, that's good.
That never leaves.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, just making sure. Give me don't the fall biggest, off the bike.
Yeah. I've got trailers. Like, okay. So if you could drive a trailer, then you could do it.
You want to take a turn on Euro Truck Sim after after we finish up here?
No.
We'll strap you into that thing. You can go for 10 or 12 hours. Bring it home.
No.
Okay.
I didn't bring Norm the right gear.
Norm is going to go on the Oculus Rift and drive a truck and eat hot peppers.
You can have a bucket nearby?
I think we have to.
We don't have a bucket. So
we
you
should,
just have to
we
hold
should
it.
Get a bucket.
Is this a hot pepper thing?
The hot pepper is a finale. Oh, and I'm not reviewing it. The hot pepper is just the...
It's just an endurance test. All right.
Yeah. It's just another way to make Norm suffer for money.
Just sensory overload in
there's a long tradition there, making Norm suffer.
For money.
Yeah, for money.
You've done well.
We did that a long time ago.
Dave, would you care for a special Halloween edition Kit Kat?
What makes it special?
It's orange.
Orange.
And it's made of white chocolate.
It was a terrible unrhymable.
It was kind of a...
Sorry,
kind of
I'll do better next
dead
time.
Dead quail yeah. there into the laptop.
Oh, see, I was really I was really dumb because I was like, the
package,
the package
is orange.
Is orange, but no.
No, it's all orange. So.
I didn't realize that Kit Kats were that brown inside.
Well, it's chocolate.
It's white chocolate.
Mm.
People in chat are asking for the Fungineer. How's your? Can we get a check-in on
They
on
have
your
to
sister?
Make it white chocolate because I don't think they could make regular chocolate that color.
It's a terrible idea. I don't think I have Skype set up to call phone numbers. I think I only have it set up to call Skype.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
She's doing good. She's a mess, as always, you know.
Yeah, Karen.
I'll see her later.
Okay.
She'll...
Are there going to be cocktails?
No.
Okay, good. No, good. Well, your kid's here.
Karen.
Yeah, no, never. So what are you doing these days, dude? Are you talking about it? I should have asked this before.
Talking about what?
What he's doing these days.
I build things. I do the same stuff I always do. I sit at home and I code on my computer.
Okay. Making websites?
I do websites.
You're making websites that make websites this time.
I make websites that make websites.
Have you been? Are you one of the guys who's been drafted in to fix healthcare.gov?
Yes, I'm in fact.
When I saw that, my first thought was get Snyder on the case.
They have a funny name for like whatever the government contractor that's like the head of it. It's like
I haven't paid attention to that at all.
Senior manager name. Oh, it's very strange. It didn't sound like anything that was related to a website, which immediately had me. Worried about.
You would have thought that Obama could have done the healthcare thing because, like, you know, people credit his tech team for getting him elected.
Yeah, it would have been.
There's
a big story about why their tech team they couldn't do it this
it
year.
It would have been pretty cool if Giant Bomb had been given the contract.
Oh. Yeah, we've got an amazing record of uptime.
This is a refrigerator magnet etched from copper and then varnished. Of testicles, which you actually made.
I did. Of the logos that I've designed, this is the worst.
No, it's the best.
Oh, he was our favorite.
The googly bit. That was the only bit that was good that I did. Was
okay,
I made
can you tell a story?
We talked about the googly bit a lot, too.
All right.
Were you? Had you started yet when we did the logo?
I was on the internet.
I was sending it to you. Yeah.
So my bit is that I am always the person, I'm always the only designer. Because I never have any money to start my companies. So it always ends up just being me and one other person.
Yeah.
And so I'm always the only designer there. So it gets down to like, we need a logo. And I'm like, fuck. God,
just to be clear, logos are hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the screen
and
logo.
I can't draw.
You had at one point for the screen logo probably 65 different versions of all sorts of crazy shit.
You're right. That one's worse than this one.
Yeah, that one was rough.
That was pretty bad.
So you sat down and you said, okay, designing a logo for Tested. So for people who don't know, Dave designed the original Tested site and the logo.
And okay, so prior to starting at Whiskey, my experience with web design was that it was usually about a six-month process. There were meetings with 35 or 40 people in the room, and nothing ever happened. It took forever to do anything.
Here's your logo.
And then I walked out. I went out. Dave was like, hey, what color do you like? I was like, I like blue. Gray is good, too.
It's the answer that everybody says. Like, that's why every website is blue.
They're all blue.
Yeah.
So Dave, the next day, came back and said, hey, I got a first pass on the site. And I was expecting, like, you know, Photoshop wireframe, you know, like empty blocks. And it was a working site. Like the site was there, ready to go. Everything worked. Comments worked. All that stuff was good.
And then I added nothing else to your website
that was pretty
for
much
a
it.
Year.
Yeah. No wiki.
Yeah.
No, none of that business. No.
So what went through your head as a designer when you said, okay, I needed something that represents testing and tested?
Well, we said we wanted a button, right? And we wanted
you
fire.
Wanted, like, the idea was that it was a hot button, that you were tested by fire. Just I think that was the wording I was given.
Just to be clear.
And it became an arcade button. It wasn't even like your standard flat
I had no idea so much thought had gone into
this. We thought about this a lot. And just to be clear, at this point, this is some real irony here. We're pulling the curtain way back. At this point, you were thinking, oh, this should be like a tech site, but kind of like Mythbusters. It's tested. We had a conversation about Mythbusters at
that makes sense
2010 because we were like, well,
who
maybe
doesn't like Mythbusters?
Everybody likes Mythbusters.
That's the whole point.
At the end of the thing, we were like, maybe we can just, you know, maybe when we finish testing something, we'll just blow it up. Why not?
Yeah.
This is before we really realized how difficult it is to actually blow stuff up.
And then we were going to make like a blow it up button or something.
Like have a big button and it'll put the Testicles logo on it.
That would have been a much better website.
We should have totally done that. Man.
That's what the original tagline was.
Okay, I'll see you guys later. I'm going to go register some domains. So the Testicles, I don't think we saw any other logos. We worked on the eyeball placement a lot. And we worked on the tilt of the mouth.
Right.
That's all I remember.
I don't remember. It's one of many horrible logos that I've done over there.
I think your logo's
the funny ones, though, now is I get to walk into the CBS building, and then there's, like, giant logos that I've done, and I'm like, these are silly.
I don't – I think you're being harder on yourself than everyone else would be.
CBS eye.
Well, that's true.
Like, there's a big googly fuse that doesn't make any sense. What kind of fuse is a star? Why would a star be the fuse? The
bomb. Giant bomb. Because it's on fire.
It's because I can't draw a fuse. I can't draw it, so it just ends up being random shapes.
Do you remember how long it took for you to do the screen logo?
It was long.
The hard part with the screen one, I'll tell you right now, is that it's three E's, and I hated the name. I couldn't stand the name. I didn't want that to be the name of the website.
But like the I thing that you ended up with originally, you want like an aperture.
There was a TV for a while.
The whole part of it was the I was Alex wanted the I. And
I think
he wanted a zombie eye or something. And I was like, I can't draw. Again, I fell back. I'm like, I can't draw.
It's because of those dragons.
Yeah.
I just noticed that there is a commonality, a similarity between the giant bomb and tested logos. They are basically just like faces going,
they're screaming dudes on the internet. It fits.
just mental faces with one eye bigger than the other.
It's the way it works.
But that's good, though.
So. And this just we're going to pull the curtain all the way back today. This also explains why all of our promo stuff, like the things that we did that you did for E3 and CES and all that, were these awesome Photoshop collages.
Yes.
Is because of your lack of ability to draw.
Yeah, can't draw.
But the collages are great.
What are we gonna do?
The collages are great.
Astronaut Lincoln?
I got to that one's a classic.
That was a good one.
Got to make the last one. I made Ryan a mole person, I think.
That one's
he was
pretty
like
good.
Underground.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a good bunch of them. They're fun.
Did you know who designed the CBS eye originally?
It was probably that guy that designed every single goddamn logo.
John Hamm?
No. What's his name from Saul Bass.
Be here all week.
Yeah.
It was not Saul Bass.
Not Saul Bass.
I do like the CBS eye logo, though. It's a good logo. Even though it doesn't in any way incorporate CBS into it. It's just an eye.
Yeah, and of course, when I went in there, the first thing I did was build a CMS and put a dragon around the eye and said, that's the CMS.
Really?
Yep. And then I was just sitting there basically hoping that somebody would, like,
wouldn't there be like 50 CBS lawyers would always say, like,
exactly.
You cannot mess with our trademarks
that's
or whatever.
That's what I was kind of hoping. Like, it'd be a good reason for me to get fiery thrown out.
There you go.
Who designed the CBS eye logo?
It's unclear. They don't know, but it was probably done by a senior staff, CBS staff designer.
I love the way that Will teased that up. Like, it's going to be an amazing.
I thought it was.
Do you know who did the CBS logo?
It's more interesting.
Who was it? Oh, nobody knows.
It's more interesting to me that they don't know, but they have an idea.
You can't tee it up like that. You made it sound like it was like Michael Jordan design. He's like, oh my God, I never thought of that. It's amazing.
Gary, it's 2 hours and 11 minutes. It's too early for you to melt down.
But I don't.
You got to dial it back.
I feel like it's warranted. You teed it up like it's going to be this amazing thing. And it was like, just nobody
knows. His name's
knows.
George Olden, the guy they think who did it,
okay.
According to Wikipedia.
All right.
So that was actually the funny thing is
he was a staff guy.
When I went and did the webhook logo, I was very much, I'm not doing, I want pure iconic. I only want one.
You want like just like a fish
color.
Hook
I want it to be just something
with a web on the end?
White.
Okay.
Yes. When I did that one, and then as soon as I put it up, then everybody was like, that looks exactly like Westinghouse.
It does look a lot like Westinghouse.
Do you have any what are your favorite logos?
Yeah, as a designer. Or favorite website designs. Star Wars favorite logos.
It's funny. With the websites, the favorite logos, I'd say, I like the NBC. I think the Peacock's pretty cool.
That's old school one or the modern rendition of the
old school
one?
I like the old school one. Yeah. I like the new one. It's fine. But the old school one I think is pretty cool. The one that still has kind of like the legs on it.
Yeah. They show that sometimes when they do like retro, like for Thanksgiving or something.
But yeah. The really good ones are all the ones that are just iconic. If you can take it and make it just pure black and white, like it's a shape. This
FedEx.
FedEx.
Hidden Arrow.
Yeah, the Hidden Arrow. That United. One gets shown. Yeah.
United is a good logo.
What's United's logo?
It's the U. It's the
With the tail? The little, little diagonal tail? That one's pretty slanted. Good.
But yeah, I've never been... I'm not a logo guy. Logos. Okay. The hard part you have with logos with websites is just the amount of space they take. So,
are you designing an icon or a name? Right.
Are you having like some sort of sidekick that's there? Like the funny stuff with Giant Bomb was that you designed this bomb and we never used the bomb. We used the
Bomb Gas Gigante.
Deer.
You mean? Yeah.
What do you think about the new tested logo? It's right behind you.
It's pretty good.
It's better.
It's a logo and it's the name.
It's better.
It's the name logo. It's a
it's
logo.
It's
and you guys use yourself as the little sidekicks, so
yeah.
You're fine.
Well, we use the blockheads and the pixel art. If you don't know this about Tested and you're logged in, you can mash that little... You can mash Testicles, the old logo, and it'll switch between Jamie and Adam's picture, all four of us blockheads, and all four of us pixel art.
I think you have to be logged in.
You have to be logged in. Yeah, the four blockheads were done by Cal... BuzzClick is his name on the message boards, and a fobwashed Steve Kim, I think, did the pixel art. He also did pixel art of the entire everybody in the Whiskey Media family at some point or another.
Cal's great. Cal's like an actual artist.
Cal's the bomb. Yeah.
Sometimes I
Cal.
Send Cal like horrible drawings that are on napkins and say, "Clean this.
Make
up.
This real.
Hey, can you make this a thing?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what he's.
I'm always
he's
amazed
about.
When they do these corporate rebrandings and they say, "Oh, we've spent $10 million rebranding our logo," and it's just like a fucking red dot. Like, really? $10 million?
Wow, you're kind of turning into Peter Griffin.
Who's that?
Yeah, the guy from Family Guy. You know what grinds my gears?
I don't watch that show.
Okay, that's probably best.
Or Marissa Meyer redesigning the Yahoo logo. She did it in a day, in a
that
weekend.
That was terrible.
Well, that was whatever they did it over the course of a month.
I liked the way they rolled that out.
I think you don't really spend too much time at it. You spend your time on whatever you're
real
you're
things.
Good at.
Real things.
Yeah, you just be good to your customer base. That's it. People tend to come around.
This is the Dave Snyder masterclass in
it's true.
Internet. Yeah.
The biggest one that I can think of, though, right now is basically Valve. Like, Valve does everything bad that you would normally think.
For example?
Just that.
Like, DRM.
They're a locked walled garden.
Yeah.
Right? But everybody loves them.
The client's kind of bad. It's always clunky and slow. Yeah. Crashes, does weird stuff.
But we love it. Yeah. It's fine. Because they have sales and you get good service out of it.
So you just went on a little bit of dadcast business, and I think we're going to do – I haven't confirmed dates with everybody yet, but I think we're going to try to do an episode around Thanksgiving in the U.S., which is the last week of November, maybe the first week of December. You just went to Europe.
I did.
On your first post-baby, no-baby
trip. Did not have a baby.
You did not take a baby with you. How was that? How'd that go for you?
It was pretty easy.
Have you done that, Gary?
It's easy on me.
Have you left the baby with a family member yet? Gary Whitta.
Have I left what?
The baby with a family member that wasn't your wife yet when you left town?
We've left
you, like, gone
with,
overnight away.
Leah's mother.
And you went away. Oh, because, yeah. So, yeah. So you have.
Yes.
You've done an overnight trip away.
Not really overnight, no.
Oh, okay. It was when you were at the premiere?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't count.
We were back later that same night.
Dave just went for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And you left the baby here with your mother-in-law?
Mom.
With your mom. Okay.
Raised me.
That's what I always. Yeah. I worked on that theory too.
No, it was fine. We went to Oktoberfest. Yeah. Went to Paris.
Did you wear Lederhosen?
Wait, can you describe Oktoberfest? I've never been.
Okay, Oktoberfest. I will tell everybody out there. Go to
Oktoberfest. Look at that one right there, the one over the TV.
And I,
or
well,
maybe
that's
that
where,
one.
That's where I was looking.
Well, I couldn't
and then
tell.
You made me look at.
I was just giving you some advice. Just look at Norm. Just only look at Norm.
Okay, Norm. Go to Oktoberfest. Everybody should go. I thought it was going to be some random drunken drink fest. It's basically a big state fair.
And it's a month long?
It's multiple weeks. I'm not sure.
Is it a giant tent that they set up in fairgrounds?
Basically, like 5x5 blocks of in a giant park that has some semi-permanent buildings.
Okay.
So most of it is your normal American State Fair stuff with Ferris wheels and parlor games and all that kind of stuff. Just way bigger than anything.
I would want to just sit along on one of those massive tables with the big 2-pint steins and the waitresses coming with endless beer. Like, that to me is what...
Exactly.
You're going to say, oh, it's just an endless drink. I'm like, yeah, sign me up.
That's
the part that
sounds
good.
That's exactly what it is, but very German engineered. So run extremely well. You get tickets. You show up at your table at a specified time. You're there for 3 hours.
3 hours.
It's all you can drink for 3 hours?
It's not all you can drink. You basically buy – when you buy you reserve a table, you get a certain amount of credits.
Right.
They give you, like, fake money, and then you can use the fake money to buy the beer. But, like, everything, every picture that you've seen of, like, hey, here's, you know, pretty girls that are walking around with, you know, 10 giant beers, that's all true. What was strange to see was that a lot of them had, like, wrist guards.
Oh, like, so they don't get bad wrist issues from carrying 15 pounds of beer?
Either they had wrist problems.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of carrying.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of balancing. And
so how do you pay to get in, and then you drink all you can in the 3 hours?
You can just walk into the main area.
Okay.
Right? Just like you walk into a
state fair. It's a public space.
Yes.
Are the steins, are they boots?
I did not have boots. They were just big... giant steins. I actually saw, I forgot about this, I saw what I thought was your grandfather and took a picture that I meant to send you. It was just...
Oh, you'll have to show me that.
Yeah, you'll see with... I'll put it on Twitter.
I'm pretty sure I don't have German ancestry. But
it was Dane. It was a Danish.
Oh,
so you talked to him. You ran out of...
I did. I took a picture. I specifically went up because I was with my wife and I was like, that's Gary Widow.
That's
what Gary Widow is going to look like when he's old. And then I went up.
I'll take a look.
He was good and friendly.
Really?
Had good beers. He was like 80.
Okay, so you just walk in, and then you get like chits? How do you exchange money for beer?
You have your ticket that lets you sit at your table. You're normally reserving a table for like 10 people or something.
So you got to have friends.
Exactly.
You should go as a team.
So you should go with friends. This is all like group buying. So that
the idea of going to Oktoberfest just on your own, but just sitting there.
Yeah. Seems real sad.
Seems really sad.
But the crazier part about it is that these tents, depending upon which tent you're in, if it's one of the bigger ones, 15,000 people.
Wait, what?
In one tent?
In one tent, sitting at those tables.
Is it like a tent? Or is it like a building with a cloth roof?
Some of them are tents. Some of them are like these kind of semi-permanent ones. And some of them are the equivalent of like cheap log cabins.
And some are actually tents that are propped up and held down with rope. And
yeah,
are there circus animals and stuff there too?
There was the biggest Ferris wheel that I've ever seen. I was kind of disappointed. I wanted to see like different parlor games, but I guess carnies have the same tricks everywhere. So like everything that you've seen. Now there were
shenanigans.
There's lots of gingerbread. People walking around with these gingerbread hearts that say stuff on it.
Explain that. It's like they're made of gingerbread?
It's a gingerbread heart that you're supposed to give to the person that you love. So
but you're
everybody's
wearing it on your
chest? Walking around them. Yes. It has a piece of string, and depending upon
so
how
it's
much...
it's like Flava Flav meets the little...
Yes.
That's real weird.
And depending upon how much you love the person, of course, is how big the gingerbread cookie that you buy for them.
Okay.
So like some people are just walking around with like ridiculous giants.
And it's the cookie as you go?
So it's covered in like saran wrap. And everybody, of course, gets way too drunk and forgets this and then bites into it. And then you just have loose cookie crumbs, like, inside of a saran wrap case.
What's the bathroom situation like?
It was fine. All of it was perfectly organized. That's the amazing part.
Like Disney organized or like a normal good America State Fair organized?
Better.
Portalettes?
No, better. No, there's all the buildings have good bathrooms. Troughs. Good trough bathroom,
okay.
As long as you're not shy.
So, yeah, you know? Like, is it shoulder to shoulder? You crammed in there? Do you have to kind of shuffle in, like in a baseball game? Or is it, you know, everybody respects your space?
No. Here's the funny part now that you mention it. There'd basically be like a big separator, and there'd be troughs on each side.
So you're facing?
Top of it, you're facing people. And what would happen is you'd have people kind of drunk. Everybody's drunk and happy. And everybody's talking different languages, so they're just figuring out. Like everybody's trying to make.
I witnessed a trough incident once.
I had a Kiefer Sutherland thing once at a trough.
Explain that.
I was in L.A. when I was living in L.A. Yeah. and had a Troth pee with
at a Dodgers game
Peter
or something.
Sutherland, and then he started like randomly talking. He was so drunk,
like Jack Bauer.
Yes, this was 12 years ago or something.
Okay,
just random drunkenness with like a hug in a bathroom.
And he hugged you,
like the arm, the
Were
side.
You zipped up at this side. Point or not so much?
I was zipped up.
Okay, that's good.
And it was very weird, and I was.
Did you get his autograph? Did you ask him to sign anything while you were in there?
No, I was kind of weirded out.
Pee on my napkin.
I saw a guy pee. You know how sometimes when you go into like an arena, and I think it was at the Coliseum maybe, they have these center hand washing stations that are circular, and they're about the same height as the urinal. They're a little lower. They're like the kind that they put in fields sometimes. And a dude just walked up to the circle thing where two people are on the other side washing their hands. Whipped it out and started going right into the portable sink.
Wow,
it was real bad. There was almost there were, people.
Did you
were,
say anything?
I was still at the urinal,
kind of the opposite
and
of that.
People
the
were really pissed.
A guy that washed his hands in a trough urinal because he didn't realize
I'm sure that happens all the time.
Yeah,
people get more upset if you pee into the place where you wash your hands. I think though, than if you're just an idiot.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. What else in Europe? Anything? So Oktoberfest. Did you buy Lederhosen?
I went to Prague. I hung out with the Czechs.
Did you buy Lederhosen?
I didn't. I felt really bad that I did not, though, because everybody.
What kind of shoes do you wear with Lederhosen? Is there like a
clogs?
So you wear like the you don't wear your sneaks with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's all like deerskin stuff.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just weird. Gingham shirt. So I have.
I was going to go, I'd want to wear the whole thing, like the feather in the hat,
peacock feather,
the suspenders, all of it.
And you should do it. And the weird part,
you could work that too.
Yeah.
Is
there a lot of this, like thigh slapping?
There's a decent amount of that, but it's more amazing. Like,
basically, how many of my like deeply ingrained racial prejudices about the Germans are true?
If you would have that event in the States, people would find a way to dress overly slutty in it, or to figure out their own style of the traditional garb.
We are an individualistic group of people.
Exactly. You'd see people that would wear like fluorescent color ones or all this kind of stuff. You didn't see
that. Well, America doesn't really have a national dress the way that many other countries do.
Yeah, with the rolled up cigarettes and
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty close.
Hey, let's take a moment and talk about why we're here.
Why? Oh, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, do it.
We are here. This is our Oktoberfest, our 24-hour podcast marathon for the kids and the doctors and electrons. What I mean is we are raising money for Child's Play, which is Penny Arcade's charity that donates toys and games to sick kids in children's hospitals around the world.
That is awesome.
It's a good charity.
It's a great charity.
They do good work. We also have added this year two more charities. We're also supporting Doctors Without Borders, which is a fantastic charity that takes medical care to impoverished nations, disaster areas, war zones, all sorts of scary places around the world that I never want to go to. But real doctors go there, and they help people who are in the most need, I think is the way I would put that, probably. And then finally, the Electronic Frontier Foundation is an organization that defends digital rights on the internet. So they look at places where copyright infringement, anti-copyright laws are encroaching on our ability to do things and take away our internet freedoms. And they fight for the users, as I think Gary or Norm said a while ago. I can't remember who said that.
I don't know, but that's a good quote.
It's a quote from Tron, I believe.
They also do meetups in bars.
They do a lot of meetups in bars. They're big with the nerds, it turns out. So,
but that's an important fight to,
it is.
To mm-hmm. wage.
Well, I mean, and so you think that maybe that doesn't reach out in the real world, but they're actually even working against the NSA spying and all that kind of stuff too. So it applies to everyday life more as phones become more a part of our lives. As we're carrying something electronic with us every day, it's more important every year. So I'm going to give some totals. I'm going to see where we're at.
Where's the thermometer?
We should have gotten a thermometer. That would have been a good idea. Right now. Ooh, we're making some money here, guys. Right, we got some real progress reports since the last check-in.
Let's hear about it.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, we have now raised $603 for the EFF. It's pretty good. We've raised $562.90 for Child's Play.
All right.
And we've raised $2,494.17 for Doctors Without Borders. So I think that puts our grand total at $3,600-ish.
All right, that's not bad.
It's pretty good for $1,200 an hour.
We're about $1,500 away from our first Goal.
Stretch goal.
Stretch. Well,
or just goal. Just call it a goal.
What's the first goal?
The first goal is if we get a total of $5,000 accumulated between the three charities, then we're going to show the video of me breaking the surface.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found that painful to watch.
We'll see how, and we'll play multiple times.
I may have to step
out. So what's your total? Is
$3,600.
All right, if you get to the five by the time I'm out of here,
yeah,
I will donate a logo.
Ooh.
I'll make somebody
make somebody a logo.
Yeah, I'll make somebody a logo.
Okay. Well, wow, and we know how good you are at drawing logos.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
You'll get something that's not drawn.
Yeah.
Or if you really want a drawn
logo. You draw it on the back of a napkin and then have them clean it up?
Have who clean it up?
Somebody
else? Are we deciding who's getting
them,
the logo?
The person who wins.
Huh?
How are we deciding who's getting the logo?
Now, do they get to give you a design brief that you will... do they say this is what they're looking for, or do they just get whatever you
send? No, they'll send...
Dave's going to poop out a logo,
I will
guys.
Do my best to build whatever they want.
Okay.
Within reason.
Logo-wise.
Yes. I can't draw...
We know that. It's established.
I can do color shapes and fonts.
And Greedy Dragon.
Well. And clip art.
And clip art.
Greedy Dragon. Yeah.
And if you want a dragon or a drawn dragon.
With a lot of gold.
That's what I would go. That's what I would go for. Yeah.
Dragon is pretty baller if you're going to look at logos.
But yeah, how do we figure out who we give it to?
So we have a handful of prizes.
Giveaways.
That have been donated by friends of the site. So we have some original art. Or prints. We have a space gun donated by Bill Doran.
Is great. I'm a.
Didn't we give that away last year?
We gave a different one away.
That
last
was a different
year.
One.
We have
okay.
a Mass Effect style pistol away last year. And Bill Doran, who runs Punish Props up in Seattle, he does Mass Effect armor and stuff like that. He launched a Kickstarter earlier this year for his original design, the space gun, and this one actually has the new tested logo.
It looks great. It looks really good. It's all nicely weathered. It looks super cool. It's cast in resin. There's two parts.
It has a clip.
Yeah.
It comes out. It can pop in. And I really like the texture of the grip here. It's Rust-Oleum, the fake kind of pebble texture.
Yeah.
As space guns go, that is a good one.
Oh, is there a signature on the bottom there, underneath the up above the trigger guard?
And there's a signature, Bill Jorn, 2013.
Signed by Bill. We have some original art. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Phil Broughton is bringing another Stein of Science. We auctioned one off last year, and I think it went for $500 or $600. It went for a lot of money. What's going to happen is we'll give away a couple of things by the end of the first 24 hours, but wait. We're going to archive the streams. All that stuff's going up on the site as it usually does, but we're going to have it all up by end of day tomorrow, or Sunday, rather, is the hope. And then we'll, at the end of the donation period, we'll do a quick live show where we draw names from all the donors and we give away all the rest of the stuff. So the art, the Stein of Science, the space gun, the logo.
Sure.
Tons of stuff.
Dave, have you seen our makeup video that we did?
I did.
Yeah, Will got a gnarly wound.
Yeah, we got it on the forehead.
A big gash on his forehead.
It really hurt.
Sometime during Octobercast, I'm going to use this smooth-on wound kit, which I'm going to put in front of me right here, to give either a guest or myself a gnarly wound in the style that was taught in the video to show how easy it is. This is a kit people can buy online.
They have it on Amazon, I think.
Amazon's like $35, $36. And
is it good for just one wound, or can you use it over and over again?
I think there's enough of the material, silicone here, and paint.
Does the screamy face come with it as well?
I think you provide your own screamy face.
All right. The neat thing about it is because it was silicone, like we put it on my forehead because I have a beard, but you could have put it on your cheek and it'll move with your skin. It sticks on and it's a real prosthetic. It's not just a mask. So you're going to do that later in the show.
And find I'm going to give away a kit.
This one right here.
This is a zombie kit. It's basically the same thing, except this one also has zombie teeth.
So we'll probably give that away by the end of this show, since Halloween is just around the corner,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay, that sounds good.
Now, people wouldn't receive that in time for Halloween, though.
We can make that happen.
We can
have
it.
All right.
In the U.S., probably.
I also just want to remind people that I've made dozens of Quake logos over the years.
Yeah, so
Quake Clan logos.
Have you ever told the Dave Snyder origin story on the internet?
Probably.
I mean, we know about Hardcore Dave, Internet Dave.
Basically, I was playing Quake. Or Quake 2 Fortress.
You were Quake 2 guy, yeah.
Rocket Arena. Yeah. Rocket Arena 2. Way
Clan
too
Arena?
Much. No, Rocket Arena.
Rocket Arena, okay.
Rocket Arena 2, the one that was for Quake 2, in the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Way too much because I had Ethernet. Failed out.
Huge advantage.
Yeah, failed out.
Yeah.
And I was making Quake Clan websites.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Wow.
Like, pretty much full time.
Quake, I have such good, like, Quake 2, that was the last time I was competitive at games. Yeah.
You played a lot of Team Fortress.
Remember going on Blues News and places like that and getting the latest
Telefragged.
Oh, the best.
Did either of you ever submit anything to Blues News that made the cut?
I was known.
You were known. You were part of the community.
Blues News was like the source. That was the first site I hit every morning. Yep. Was Blues News.
I was a sugar shack guy when they redesigned
the site in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
When they did a big slimmed it.
The one that's still there.
Yep.
Yeah. It used to be that, and I used to
freaked out.
I used to occasionally go to Cliffy B's ownage, where he would highlight his favorite Unreal tournament mods.
Didn't Cliffy also do that CAT scan website that was all the people who put their cats on the flatbed scanner and then scanned them?
I think Cliffy was in some way involved.
I feel like that was touched by him in some way or another.
Yeah, I think so. I remember those days of like trying mods. We built on PC Gamer one of the greatest Quake mods of all time, as you recall.
Oh, I don't know. Tapestries of Injustice.
Coconut Monkey's Tapestry of Injustice, which had some of the most pointlessly bad game design of all time.
It was art.
It was fantastic.
Fish in a Barrel.
Oh, I wonder if we can get that.
Railgun Alley.
Fish in a Barrel, Railgun Alley.
Did you ever play these?
So, Quake 2 mod. Explain what they were.
So many, many years ago when I was the editor-in-chief, I wonder if you can still get it somewhere.
I'm sure it's still on the internet.
It's got to be
on the internet somewhere.
Oh, I'm going to mod it for Oculus Rift and go back in. Oh, can you imagine?
Just set up the story.
Surrounded by the insanity of it.
So back when
Quake mods were all the rage. So like 97, 98, around that era of like between Quake 2 and Quake 3, everyone was building mods and we got the tools and we started to teach ourselves to build mods and got good. We couldn't build anything any good. So the exercise became how bad can we make something? And everyone kind of went off on their own projects and we put them all together and made this anthology called Coconut Monkey's Tapestry of Injustice. And as I recall, there were five...
Yeah,
mods, and they were all different levels.
And the thing about
high
it was,
concept.
The Killing Box 2, Hot Grits Are Flying.
Uh-huh.
The Killing Box was killed in development, and we just released the sequel straight to the market as Killing Box 2.
This was our first
experiment. It was basically just a massive, massive empty cube.
Gymnasium.
Yeah, it was huge.
As big as you could make in the game,
and it was completely littered with BFGs and quad damages everywhere. So it was just instant murder.
Yep.
All over the place, all the time.
I thought that was the weakest part of the compilation, though. I'll be honest.
No, Column Wars was the weakest one.
Was that the one where you stand on top of a massive column?
A conversation about which is the weakest of these levels could run and run and run. So there was Killing Box 2.
Column Wars,
which I think was the weakest one, where you basically all stood on columns that were exactly the same size as the player model's base.
Yeah.
So you could not move even one pixel.
You'd jump.
And if you got shot by even this pistol, you'd get knocked off.
You could jump, but no other columns were reachable from a jumping position. And there was lava on the floor, and you would just die all the time.
It was like a Survivor Challenge.
Yeah. It wasn't fun at all, which was kind of the point.
Zen Master, you know, live on top of the pole for a week thing. Then
Railgun Alley was a really long corridor that was one pixel wider than the player model. So you couldn't move left or right at all. You could only move forward and back.
Mm-hmm. But you both got spawned
in the center,
yeah,
facing different directions. At the end of each end of the long corridor, there was a railgun. And all you had to do was get to the railgun, turn around and fire, and you'd guaranteed hit the player because you couldn't aim anywhere.
Whoever
else
fired twice won. Yeah. First one.
So it was just a race to get to the railgun at the end, turn around and shoot the other player. That wasn't a lot of fun either.
I was the crazy person that would change the POV so that you'd have a wider view.
Yeah. And then that would screw up.
I also made the you just turn off the model so that everybody was just the diamonds. They were the hit diamonds.
But we used to play with the
guy that made your guys' the podcast music.
Oh, Phil Reno?
So Phil Reno and I used to play, and his name's Waffle Stomp.
Of course.
And
mine
was Dark Star.
So, okay. I want to get to the best part of this.
There are two. The Glug.
Glug. I know what Norm's doing. Saving the best for last.
Yeah.
Glug, which was a massive pit.
Okay.
Everyone spawns on their water.
And it was filled completely with water, apart from just enough at the top that you can get water and go back down.
Mm-hmm.
And all the weapons were at the very, very bottom. But you couldn't get all the way to the bottom and back up again on one breath. You would definitely die. Mm-hmm. If you got a weapon, you would be dead.
So you had to choose between dying and taking some people with you or getting air.
And I thought we were tackling some interesting philosophical territory, thematic territory. Each one asked, I think, a pretty searching question about the nature of human existence.
I think you overthought this a little
futility.
Bit much.
Well, Railgun Alley, do you run for the railgun or do you try to just use the blaster and kill them before they get to the
railgun? Why don't you run backwards and shoot the blaster at the same time?
You could do that.
I don't think we gave you a pistol, though.
Everyone spawns.
You always spawn with a pistol.
Okay. So there was that.
And then Fish in a Barrel.
Fish in a Barrel, which was my favorite.
That was the best of them.
Which was a massive pit, which had one player would spawn at the top with a grenade launcher. All the other players would spawn down at the bottom in a barrel.
Yeah.
And as the top player, you would just spam grenades down into the pit constantly.
But the thing about Fish in a Barrel that was magical was if all the players in the pit worked together instead of shooting each other, you could knock him off the ledge.
I thought that politically this one had the most to say in the sense that if all the people... So this is what's happening in our society, right? The people at the top are constantly just spamming grenades down at the middle classes down below. You've got your Mitt Romney up there with his grenade launcher spamming his grenades down onto the middle class.
Absolutely.
And if all the people down below, there were lots of weapons down there, if they could just achieve unity and agree to work as a team, you could fire up and kill the guy, but they were too busy killing each other. The guy at the 1% at the top would never be displaced.
Because the reason the grenades were killing each other was also occasionally you'd randomly, if fortune favored you, spawn at the top.
Yeah.
And place at the top. So you're, if dying was, you know, you had this small chance.
Yeah. And you were pretty safe because you knew all the people down at the bottom would never figure out a way to work together. They would just be killing each other down in the barrel while you continued to spam grenades.
And there'd always be one person screaming for unity in the barrel.
Yeah. And eventually somebody somewhere would manage to get off a lucky shot. But it was never, I never once saw everyone down in the barrel say, ceasefire, ceasefire, we've got to work together against our common enemy. That never happened.
This was ahead of its time.
So I ran a Quake 2 server when you guys released those. And I put those on the Quake 2 server and just part of the random rotation.
You know how like indie games now are actually making like really profound like political and social points. And, like, we were ahead of all of that shit.
I don't think
Fish in a Barrel was the original like subversive political commentary indie game.
You just made a waffle iron in space.
You made a waffle iron? I made a bowl of cereal once.
Yeah, for waffles.
For Quake 3?
For Quake 2. That was his name. So it was just the entire map was just a waffle iron.
I can't wait till Jeremy gets here because Jeremy will have memories of the Quake 3 maps.
Real anecdotes.
Quake 3 is when it went south.
I loved Quake 3, but I stopped having time to be competitive. Yeah.
If anyone in the chat or anywhere can find a link to a working Tapestry of Injustice mod, I would love that. I would get it running. I would play it again.
Future live streams.
And there are Quake Oculus mods, so I could probably get it running in the Rift.
We are not going to try to get that running for that's a
well, not now.
Future.
That's a project for me when I get home.
Stretch goal.
So Dave Snyder, I asked you a while ago and you were coy. What are you working on now? Do you want to talk about it here?
I've got a couple things. I'm doing one, which is with Andy. I'm doing a CMS system called Webhook.
This is the thing brought to you by Westinghouse?
Yes.
Okay.
You can see, go to webhook.com. Gives you a basic, vague overview.
That sounds great.
But it's basically a static site generator that has a CMS on the background. So people who don't know what static site generator is, it's basically the idea of... Most content on a website doesn't change all that much.
Yeah.
So why query the database for it? Well, this generates...
Absolutely.
It generates straight static flat files, so like straight HTML files. So when you'd edit something in the CMS, it would just build a new HTML page.
So it's like movable type?
Kind of, but not really.
Okay.
The big thing with it is, for us, we always had the problem. Some would say Whiskey Media's downfall was that it cost so much money to run.
It was a little bit expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this would cut your costs down.
You cut out the middleman.
No, you still have the middleman. You still push it to the same places. But hosting stuff like static website is extremely cheap because you're just doing it over something like S3.
So you cut out the middleman.
There's no...
I don't understand how to save money unless you cut out the middleman. That's all I know.
You're cutting out your highest cost to... You just have to remove some of your functionality to like 5%.
So what kind of you don't have pictures? What kind of functionality goes away?
So things that where you would normally dynamically...
No underlining? Links?
Where you would dynamically put stuff into a form.
Okay.
That kind of stuff tends to disappear. Now, over the years, basically people like Discuss, people like Discourse have been building systems that just run through JavaScript to do a lot of this.
Okay.
I'm losing you.
No, no, you're good. I understand, but I'm trying to... So basically what you're saying is you can make a website.
Yes.
And it'll be cheap to run.
Yes.
Who is it for?
It's basically any content creator. So, okay. The nice parts about it are you can build the CMS how you want. You wanted your wiki, you would be able to build your wiki.
I didn't really want a wiki. I just like to bitch about not having a wiki, it turns out.
Everybody needs something to bitch about. So.
It does help, yeah.
But it's fun. The other thing I'm doing is working on, because I've got a little bit more time these days, I'm working on just open source projects trying to actually give back to the Python community.
Oh, that's good.
So I'm working on this place called readthedocs.org, and they do hosting for documentation. So you're using anything written in Python, it more than likely is hosted on Read the Docs. Their website, and I'm working with them, their website, if you go to it right now, it's looks
a little rough.
Pretty rough.
Is it worse than tested or better than tested?
It's pretty bad.
Okay.
So I'm going in and helping them out, and probably by the end of the year, that whole site will get a redo.
Get it going.
And just doing it for fun.
And you're a new dad. You're 6 months in?
Yeah.
6 months?
Seven, getting close.
You're
two
months behind us, I think,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, you're our future baby.
You're our past baby.
And Gary's got future baby.
Gary's my future baby.
Yeah. What's this?
Your baby is my future baby.
Yeah.
I look to you for horrifying glimpses of the future.
Yeah. Mm. No, it's not pretty.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
It's not good.
She's good.
Guys, we're over $4,000.
We are over $4,000.
That's pretty
good.
That
is a lot of dollars.
That much closer to... I don't think we're going to make it in the next 20 minutes.
No, we can do it.
A free Dave Snyder.
Come on, guys.
You can do it.
We can do it.
I think you can.
We are very, very close. Baby's good?
Baby's good. Baby's...
Is she doing anything fun? She started crawling yet?
Not really crawling. She doesn't like... She's just not interested. She'll probably walk. She's closer to walking.
You think she's going to be a straight to walking?
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman?
An advanced... Yeah.
Okay.
Something. I don't know.
We thought that ours was going to go straight from
solitude
sitting. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does she like? What does she not like?
She likes peas. We haven't found anything she doesn't like yet.
Have you given her spinach yet?
I haven't given her spinach.
Spinach was the first one that we didn't like.
Yeah.
Gary, what was the first? Did you get funny faces?
Pineapple. Didn't somebody say pineapple?
Pineapple's tart and sweet at the same time. Yeah. We try to stay away from the super sweet stuff because we're
your baby afraid. Makes a lot of funny faces.
My baby?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. My baby does. Well, I mean, it's genetic, right? Did you, when you were feeding, when you started out with the food,
yeah,
were you worried about stuff? We're going to do a mini dad cast here. I apologize,
no.
Norm.
No.
No?
I was more worried that, like, she wouldn't, you know, have any, but she went right for it.
Does she do the thing where she sees the spoon coming and just goes,
yeah.
Because that's the best.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing
in the
world.
It's really fun. Then when she doesn't do it, you make the airplane sounds and she opens right up.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just like not in her field of vision. So I think the airplane, doing the airplane, just gets it into the field of vision. She's like, oh wait, it's there.
The bad part now is I'll try and just bring stuff up for her to smell or something, and she'll think it's food. And
my baby loves the smell of coffee.
Yeah,
she just like she wants to go up, and she knows she can't drink it. Now she gets that, but she just goes up and puts her nose on the rim of the cup and goes. Because it's real weird. I didn't think babies would like coffee, but she likes the way it smells.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, she's also
mimicking.
You know, she's your daughter.
A little sponge. what's on your docket for the afternoon? You have a big city adventure?
So when you live outside the city and you have a child, and then you come into the city with the family, you basically announce that you're going to be in the city.
Oh.
So it's like, hey, we're going to be in the city.
Because you don't live I live a little bit outside the city. It's like 20 minutes. You're like an hour and a half away, right?
Yeah, most days. I live up in Petaluma. Yeah. So.
It's a long ride.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird, like, 1950s town. There's lots of parades. Lots of old cars.
Really? Lots of parades?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Parades.
Did you have a Columbus Day parade?
There wasn't a Columbus Day, but there'll be one pretty much every weekend in the summer.
Really?
Yep.
So is it a different festival every weekend, or is it just...
Pretty much. It's like whatever, you know, thing is going on at the time.
Is there, like,
there's
the
like
Dairy
roses,
Queen?
There's the American Graffiti was shot up there.
Oh.
Avalon was shot up there. So it has this weird, like, 1950s vibe to it.
Are there frequently, are there pageant winners that ride on backs of convertibles and stuff?
Yeah, there is that. Okay. The funny part that I remember was... there was the Hooters girls, but you could tell that somebody like made the Hooters girls like put on jackets and stuff. They're like,
they were
this
not
is
savory
this
enough.
This is Petaluma. Like,
wow.
Put on your jacket.
So you have like motorcycle days and stuff like that too, where
they
do, like, the
they
motorcycle
have all
crowd?
That kind of stuff. It's just a weird, like, strange town. I love it. It's great.
That's good. Yeah. So you're settling in nicely. Okay, that's so you have announced that you're coming to visit.
Yes. And so,
and now people just flock to you're like, I'm gonna be at a bar someplace.
Gonna meet up at a bar, and hopefully it's not too crowded because you get the kid.
Well, the kids like bars.
We know the bar owner, so that helps.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this is going to make me sound like the worst parent ever, but babies love bars because there's lots of people around. They're usually friendly and, like, waving and interested.
It's usually
someplace
just
as loud.
Long as it's not too loud.
Well, right. You don't want, like, live music loud. You want, like, hubbub loud.
Hubbub.
Babies like a hubbub.
Hubbub.
We were at...
It's a great word.
It's a good word, isn't it? We went to Sebastopol and went to the Hop Monk there, which is a tavern.
Yeah.
It's a like a local. There's a three or four of them, I think. Yeah, it's a good beer. They have a nice beer garden there.
It's a Bennigan's for beer drinkers.
Yeah. Well, okay.
There's no.
I'm gonna go with it.
That's kind of the way that I feel about it.
It's a little more local.
There's
than
no
Bennigan's.
Monte Cristo, but you know.
I bet they have a Monte Cristo sometimes.
Well, Monte Cristo Bennigan's is pretty much the.
Are we talking about sandwiches?
Revolting
about
thing
sandwiches?
In America.
I love.
You know what a Monte Cristo is?
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big fan of the Monte Cristo.
What is it, a Monte Cristo?
You never had a Monte Cristo?
I might have, but I don't know the name.
It's basically a grilled ham and cheese, right? But it's fried up.
At Bennigan's.
And usually you put maple syrup on top, right?
Wait, so you make the sandwich with ham and cheese, and then
But then they cover it in like a batter, and then they deep fry the whole thing.
It's like French toast in a sandwich.
Yeah, it's like a cross between French toast and a grilled ham and cheese.
It's a heart attack.
And they put maple syrup on top, right?
I don't think they do that.
It can depend.
There's mayo. There's definitely mayo involved.
Mm. Frequently, I like it when there's a pickle in there, so it's like a Cuban.
It's not an uncommon thing. You can get a Monte Cristo
sandwich.
With
Bennigan's, it just comes with like trumpets and other junk that somebody found at like a flea market.
Yeah, that seems right. Is this a Southwest themed Bennigan's, or is this are we going to go with lobster pots or tumbleweeds?
I always feel like a Monte Cristo, like, it sounds good on paper, and it generally it is good, but it's not as good. As it's not worth the feeling of what you're doing to yourself in eating it.
Well,
it'd have to be the best thing ever.
You can have Monte Cristo hangover
heroin. Like if it was,
I don't think it's as bad as heroin, dude.
No, but I'm saying it would have to be an experience as good as heroin for me to justify.
Is it real good, the heroin?
I've never
put
heroin.
Salt on it.
But I imagine heroin is pretty good.
I like a Cuban sandwich because it's salty in the sweet.
I like a Cuban.
Right. Yeah. The pickle crunch in there.
In fact, we found a Cuban restaurant in the East Bay that made a really good Cuban sandwich.
Oh, good. You have to
I'm just
share.
A grilled cheese man, you know?
I like a good grilled cheese.
Grilled cheeses are like one of the things you find when you have a kid. Well, you don't because you work at home most of the time. But you come home sometimes at the end of the day, you're like, I don't want to fucking make dinner. I'm too lazy to even go order food.
It still happens.
Okay.
I tell you.
Okay, it's good then. I'm glad it's not just me. So that's when we bust out the can of Progresso tomato basil soup and make a grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But Brad Shoemaker taught me something the other day that I'd never heard of before. Instead of using butter to make the grilled cheese, he read on the internet or ran out of butter and he used mayonnaise to make a grilled cheese.
Ew.
On the outside?
On the outside.
That's gross.
It in sounds gross.
Mayo is bad in general.
I think you could do that.
Mayonnaise is oil. And eggs. Egg
not
yolks.
Allowed in my house.
No mayo?
No mayo. I can't stand mayo.
Mayo's great.
No,
you're taking that away from your kids. Going to love
avocado.
But I do have
mayo.
Like seven types of mustard.
Yeah.
Mustard's, it can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about mustard. It's not
the
like ketchup.
Honey mustard,
the mayonnaise greases
mustard,
the outside of the
radish.
Sandwich.
There's
and
all
it allows it to fry.
I like a mustard.
Spicy brown.
But
yeah.
you're not gonna fry the outside of that sandwich with mustard.
It
doesn't work.
If I had no butter for my grilled cheese, I just would not make a grilled cheese. I'd be like, this is...
To make a toasted cheese.
We're out of here. Let's go get
pizza. Would you rather eat 10 sticks of butter... All
10?
In one, yes. 10 sticks of butter.
I'm in. That's
how you know it's
all
a...
All in one go.
Salted or unsalted?
Unsalted.
Perfect.
Or try heroin once.
Butter. Every time.
Wow. This one, I'm actually going to think of this one.
If you're held up at gunpoint, and it's like,
guys,
you got to have the heroin.
Is a really bad drug.
How am I taking it?
The heroin or the butter?
Is it snorted, smoked, or needle?
How am I taking the butter? Well, I don't know. I mean,
is it butter anally fitted?
Like, we've all seen Last Tango in Paris.
Can I just eat it? Because it'll just make you like drowsy or something.
The butter,
right?
You would just like, just eat it. All right, off the stick.
Well, I know. That sounds disgusting to me, where it's like... Hey,
well,
if I
mean,
just
heroin.
Get, like,
to me, I mean,
loopy.
I'm not an expert, but you inject it, don't you?
Well, okay.
People
then
inject,
out.
Snort, and smoke.
Then I'm out.
You can what if you had to smoke crack once instead of being injected? This is heroin?
Then 10 pounds. Ten things of butter, right? It's disgusting.
10 sticks of butter.
I'll take the drugs.
You'd rather do crack.
If it's just like one time, I'll just
there's
sleep.
No such thing. You could be addicted.
Have you seen Requiem for a Dream?
But what if you could have instant crack addiction?
Yeah.
And then you're a junkie.
I don't think I'd have instant crack
addiction. That's what everybody says before they pass up the 10 pounds of butter.
I'd take one stick of butter.
What are you worried about on the butter side? Just the
it's gross.
Disgusting? Not the health issue.
Could I melt the butter? The health issue is also there. Like, I'd have to buy a whole new wardrobe the next day.
10 sticks of butter. How much weight is one stick?
That's a pound and 2.5 pounds of butter.
Can I have a delivery mechanism? Can I use popcorn to eat?
Yeah, I was gonna say. Could you melt?
Then I'll be fine.
2.5 pounds of butter and then pour it on popcorn. So it's
2.5 pounds of butter just poured on popcorn. That would be even worse.
I'd have multiple popcorn.
It would be
popcorn all day. You gave me like no time.
It would be like butter soup with popcorn croutons.
Drink 2.5 pounds of butter melted down.
It's still going to be a lot of. That's going to be a big giant cup.
Oh,
of butter.
That would be. No, I think that would be even harder.
I'll take some rum, put it in rum, and you have hot
perfect.
Rum,
that's a
done.
Great idea.
Then I'll just get really drunk, and it'll be fine. I'll
get
greased.
And it's still 2.5 pounds.
Yeah, and I still get my drugs.
Every once in a while, Joey is putting up baseball players on the screen, and I don't know why.
What is going on?
But I'm very confused.
That looks like an Amish baseball player.
Playing for the Astros.
He made his own bat.
He turned it on a water powered lathe, guys. Don't
choose
the craftsman. You want to check in with the charities and see how we're doing here, guys? See if we've reached $5,000.
I would love for us to hit that $5,000 goal so that you could design a logo.
I hope that the silliest person wins.
This is thousands of dollars of labor donated free.
It probably
by
is.
Dave Snyder.
Yeah.
This could be like a 20-30 hour project for you.
I hate doing logos so much that it is certainly thousands of dollars worth of my time.
So, Norm, are you keeping the tally here? Can you keep the numbers?
Yes.
Okay, so the Electronic Frontier Foundation, if you want to donate to the EFF, it's tested.com/electrons. Right now we're at $788.
$828.
Oh, it just went up in the time I reloaded. Okay, so it's at $828. Child's Play, I'm reloading again, is at $892.90. So now Child's Play has overtaken Electronic Frontier Foundation now that it's a contest. And Doctors Without Borders is at $2,590.17. So we are mighty close.
We are.
And we have 7 minutes to go. Our next guest coming up in about 7 minutes, Colin Campbell, of formerly of IGN, games business.
Polygon.
He's at Polygon.
Yep.
Can he make logos?
I don't think so.
My old podcasting game theory.
Unimpressed. Unimpressed, Dave Snyder.
How much more do we need? I got to do the math.
Yeah, that's all I asked. Can your fancy Surface 2 not do the math?
I got two calculators on this. I got a desktop calculator.
Yo, dog.
And I got a whatchamacallit.
Meanwhile, while we're doing that, you want to read some comments? I like reading comments.
Read a comment. Let's hear a comment.
We've got
$688.
$688
in the next 7 minutes.
If you want someone who is not necessarily one of the people who's even donated,
if you went on Google right now and were like, "I need a logo," it will cost you more than $688.
And this logo is also, it will be public domain.
Yeah, whatever. Well, no, the person can do whatever they want. They want a private logo. They want to make a logo that's just like, "I love my dog." I will make that logo.
What if someone said, "I want you to make a logo for my white supremacist group"? Like, would you
already agreed to do heroin, so
you can still take the butter, man.
You could take the heroin while designing the white supremacist logo.
Hey, I have some comments from people who've contributed. Chris Kustrup Thompson says, "Smartphones and condoms."
Wait, what?
He just said smartphones and condoms.
That was the premise behind Tested.
That was just Quake 2, man.
That was our first video. Lauren Vandergriff says, "Keep it up, guys. Get people to contribute for every hour they listen or something." I think it would be better if they just contributed once. Because if we expect them to keep listening for 24 hours, we'd probably have problems. Ian McDonald says, "Hey, guys, thanks for doing this. I've watched all of them live. This is the first time I've donated. I will stay with the stream as much as possible while I learn Linux commands and play GTA 5. If we reach the goal and somebody doesn't want a logo, will you teach them Linux commands instead?
It's pretty easy. Yeah, sure.
Okay. LS. We're done.
Sure.
Mission accomplished, guys.
Yeah. Also, remember, once we reach $5,000 cumulatively over to the three charities, we also reveal
we're going to run a clip.
The Surface video.
We're going to show the video that we've never shown where Norm destroyed a Surface RT.
Where the title of the video on YouTube? No, not on purpose. The title of the video on YouTube.
I mean, it was very stupid, though.
Was never publish this.
We have a couple of. We actually have several videos.
They should have seen it coming. There was only really one outcome.
I don't know how Matt Honan over at Wired did the same video, and he didn't destroy his.
He actually did destroy his.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind then. Bill Barrett says, keep up the good work. If you post comments when you do your crowd tilt, I'll read them on air. That's what I'm saying.
Speaking of
you
logos,
have to donate to do a comment, though,
I think. Do you remember what my spraying Team Fortress used to be?
It was that gif of the dragon humping the Volkswagen.
Like this, Dave. It was a dragon having sex with a car.
I believe there was a money shot.
Yeah. Well, this is even before Reddit for years. Yeah. There was a whole weird art subculture of people that used to like drawing pictures of dragons having sex with cars.
It still exists, man. It's still there.
Hey, the widgets got fixed.
The one that I had was really disgusting. You know how you can tell when you got a bad spray is as soon as you spray other players come in and instantly try and spray over it because they don't want
every
to have to look
time.
At it. That would happen with mine all the time.
Dave Snyder, we're coming to the end of the hour. Thank you so much for coming by, sir. Say hello to your lovely daughter.
We have three minutes
to reach the goal. Are you keeping an eye on it?
Are we anywhere near it?
Are you going to give him a buffer if we hit it like 5 minutes after you still go to the logo or is the offer off the table?
They better get it.
You're saying you want it right now.
You better hit it.
It has to happen now.
I want to walk away.
We're at $1,770 plus $2,680.
Wait, $1,700?
I'm looking at $843, $932, $290, and
$2,680.
The widgets are fixed on... Hey, if you want to see the widgets that work now, thanks to the new Top Men. It's like a band.
They're
still the Top Men?
They're dead.
What page are they watching right now?
It's like they're not Octoberkast.com.
Oh, okay.
So they need a new nickname. Yeah. That's what you're saying. Okay. Well, anyway, our fine team of engineers down at Berman Braun in Los Angeles have fixed the widgets on the page. So if you go to tested.com/Octoberkast or Octoberkast.com, you can see the widgets.
$500 is all we need.
They're currently updated. We're $500 short. They're two minutes.
For a Dave Snyder
this
logo?
This is a nail bite. No. The person who donates, it's a raffle to win a chance of winning a Dave Snyder logo.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Well, kind of.
Only one of my logos over the course of time has been sent a cease and desist.
Which one was that?
Boompa.
I remember Boompa.
Like, it was a car website.
We tried to hire you.
You did.
You were coming to launch whiskey.
And I was like, I'm doing
you were very
Boompa
polite.
Thing.
You were very polite.
I don't know. I wanted to do it.
I know.
I needed the money.
It would have been better. We needed somebody there to ask important questions.
But
like,
imagine if you would have had a better website. Then maybe you wouldn't
the whole thing could have. Yeah. This would never happen. No Octoberkast.
And you too could have fate smile upon you.
Yeah.
With just think if you had a logo.
A snide log.
You could put it
it's
on
a mondrian.
Your arm.
Yeah, you get a tattoo. Yeah. Will you design a tattoo for somebody if they want that?
It could just be an avatar. No, I don't know.
I want a personal logo.
I guess they can do with it whatever they want.
Yeah, they could put it on themselves. Forehead tattoo. I want this to be perfectly sized to fit on my face.
Sure.
Why not? You're down for whatever.
I'll do, yeah.
Heroin, butter, face tattoos.
Or you can just get a dance.
That's true, too.
I'll just send you 5 minutes of dancing.
Okay.
Or something.
Dave Danson.
Yeah.
Animated GIFs ready to go. We are coming down to the wire, Dave Snyder.
All right.
Thank you, as always, sir.
No worries.
We'll let you know who gets the logo. Should we cross the boundary in time? I don't know if it's going to happen or not. It's real close. $1,000 on one, $1,032, $2,695, $878. That looks like it's a little short to me, and it's 3 p.m. right now. So I'm sorry, guys. No Dave
no
logo, Snyder
logo. But
thank you, sir.
Gary, you've seen this video.
What is it?
I'm watching the video. You guys could be watching the video, too.
What am I looking at here?
On my monitor right here. Oh, my God. I forgot how bad that was.
What is that over there?
That's the control room.
Oh.
That's coming.
Oh, yeah. That's totally freaking me out.
The video is coming from inside the office.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. I wasn't...
That's the video.
Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, the humanity. Seated directly to my right now. In a seamless transition.
That was seamless.
Almost as if we planned it.
I looked away and I was like, oh, shit.
Colin Campbell.
Became someone else.
Hey, Joey, it occurs to me we need to roll over feeds and stuff real quick. So before we introduce Colin, I'm going to start and stop the recorder. And can you put us... Yeah, we're put it back there for a sec. We are going to do a quick transition for our next archive segment. Justin just rolls through. I just need to start the 3 p.m. stream, which I should have probably started a few minutes ago. While we're doing this, how you doing, Colin? I guess we'll introduce you at the start of the next segment. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I should have planned this better. This is our first handover, so we haven't done this before.
What are we doing?
Did Dave do like a 2-hour stint then?
No. Every three hours we have to start. YouTube only archives 4 hours at a time.
I understand.
So we're doing some shenanigans to get the chunks going and all that business.